I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hello.
Hi, we're looking for Dick, please.
A sentence I never hoped to say.
Hi, is Dick in?
There's no way. There's no way to ask for Dick without appearing gay.
There really isn't.
Kevin, I can't decide between a fat joke and a dumb joke. Boom, roasted.
Stupid hair. What grown man has blonde hair?
F you.
I have one thing to say. All girls are shady.
Whoa. There it is.
Manure.
And now,
just keep running. Bull. I'm gonna slate this. All right, I haven't got time to mark this mother. Here we go again. We can't hear anybody. Nobody can talk to anybody.
Our feature presentation.
And that's how it goes when we're on remote. That always happens that way.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and One Leg show.
How dare you? I prefer Claudie, which is what the listeners have been calling me. By the way, thanks for joining us in the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. We are live at a super secret location that you'll never figure out for breakfast with Incubus. But what about Kevin being here at the start of the show? What about that, producer Alex?
How dare you?
I mean, that's so bizarre.
Like I'm not here every
you
day.
You haven't seen the beginning of a regular show, much less a live broadcast.
I think this first half hour is a little waste. I do. I don't think we're very good. try to miss it.
You have better things to do with your time than
Kevin
nonsense.
Kevin was on time for the shuttle.
That's right.
I was shocked.
Very strange. I don't have a blood clot.
Okay, good. Bean woke up with a cramp the other night and thought it was a blood clot, and it started swelling. He went to the doctor. They did it.
I was worried that it was a blood clot only because, here's why. The leg hurt a great deal because it was a sports injury, you know.
Stop saying that. You were sleeping.
And that hurt a great deal, but I could see that that was getting better. By the time Monday rolled around, I could see that that was getting better, and I knew that the leg, the muscle part was not going to be a problem. But then the listeners just freaked me out with, dude, if it's still swollen and
they're
it's still
best.
Hot, it could be a blood clot. And it didn't sound like they were kidding because – and then I started getting emails from people who went in because they thought they might have a blood clot, and they did. And this one woman wrote to me yesterday. I wish I had it. They rushed her into surgery, had to do lung surgery on her because she had a blood clot in her lungs.
Whoa.
I mean, so it's the type of thing. Hey, Lisa.
Hello, Bean. Yeah.
So it's the type of thing that, you know, there's a better chance that you don't have than that you do, but it would be so stupid to die over something like that if you could have gone to the doctor and didn't.
Some call it stupid.
Sure.
Here's all I'm saying is Bean's natural reaction is to go to the worst possible scenario.
That's insane.
So it's shocking to me that you didn't. But that then the listeners forced you into that position.
Let me tell you why that's ridiculous. Because I stayed in a hotel last night, like I do. And I woke up this morning. My neck is just killing me. I can barely turn my
head. Come on. You need to stop going to bed.
Neck hurts.
how do you get hurt every time you sleep?
That's a good point.
Come on.
I need to start sleeping in a rubber room or something.
What's happening?
So I woke up, and you know, you might look at, wow, your neck really, really hurts. You're sleeping in an unfamiliar bed. Maybe it just wasn't the right pillow for you or something like that, or the mattress was too hard, or whatever it is. All I could think this morning when I got up and my neck hurt, and it hurt so much even to just turn, is I must have spinal meningitis. I mean, I feel that that's likely, is that maybe that's what I've got.
It's not likely. It's 100%. That's science.
I mean, if you wake up and your neck hurts, that generally means some sort of degenerative bone disease, right? Or meningitis or something horrible.
Or you just slept wrong.
I don't know.
It could be that.
I'm worried. I don't know. I may have to go back to the doctor today.
See, this isn't fair because you tease us. Because when you say, I'm worried I might have that, then we all go, come on, come on, come on. And then nothing comes of it.
Why was everybody so excited that I might die from the blood clot this week?
Oh, we weren't excited you would die. You got that idea?
I got that idea a lot.
No, we would have missed you a lot.
Dave was in the office ordering cupcakes and party hats. It just seemed like you guys had something planned for right after I died.
It just seems like, get it over. It's going to happen. Just do it.
Well, that is true.
Just get it over with. But how many times can you get injured sleeping? This is the... That's the weirdest, lamest thing I've ever heard. Everybody sleeps on their neck wrong, and it's a little sore in the morning.
But they're not going to die. They don't have bone cancer like I do.
No, it's the exact same pain. It's just they go, my neck hurts, but I'm not going to mention it to anybody. And you go, I'm going to die, and I'm going to tell everybody for 10 hours. That's the difference.
I feel like I'm likely to die.
Some people
ignore.
If you
thought you were going to die, you would bring it up.
Then die already. You're the boy who cried death.
Right. Die or don't. Just listen, if you're going to say you're going to die every day, then die.
That is going to be a very special
Will you
beast
please
death quarter.
Die.
By the way, we are at a super secret location today. Assuming I survive.
You're not dead. Die.
Assuming I live, assuming I pull through, and right now it's touch and go. The band Incubus is going to be here in about 2.5 hours. They're going to be here. They're going to be 10 feet. Well, the drummer is going to be 5 feet. The singer is going to be 10 feet away from where we are right now. They're going to be performing live for us.
And about 10 feet from where every single listener is going to be as well. Yeah.
Seriously, we're in some dude's living room right now. This is pretty crazy. But, yeah, we ask questions. You ask questions. They perform. This is our third Breakfast with Incubus. And here's what I'm going to tell you about this, our latest.
It is our latest.
Our latest Breakfast with Incubus. Out of all the Breakfast with Incubus we've done, this is the very latest one.
And it's the last breakfast that you're going to be a member of.
That's right, because I am likely to die.
If you don't die, we will take you out.
So I am very very excited about the boys, and the new album is such a change in direction for these guys.
It is, but really good.
It is good, but I can't wait to talk to them about it and find out
what's disco. That was the strange thing.
I can't wait to talk to them and find out what that must be like when you built an empire on a sound, and then you go, you know, on to the next thing.
Not going there.
You know, and I mean, they're going to leave some people behind,
yeah,
and they're going to bring in some new people,
yeah,
too. So anyway, very excited. Love this band. The album is out, if not now, when. It's out, available for download in stores now.
Would you mind making me a promise? Would you mind promising me that between now and when the band comes in, you're going to get all of the I'm going to die talk out of the way so that you don't bore them with it?
I'm not going to bore them with
it. You bore all of us with it.
I'm spending my last day interviewing Incubus.
You bore all. I'm just saying they don't need to hear your paranoia.
All right, I'll see what I can do. It's not paranoid, by the way, if it comes true.
Right, but it hasn't yet.
But it could. Today could be the day. You don't know, man.
It could be the day, and I do know because I could be the cause of it. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
What would you say you do here?
Well, we talk to people sometimes. Uh-huh. Right. We have John Benjamin in. He's got a van, don't you know?
I've heard that.
I don't know if you've seen that show on, is it Comedy Central? Or
yes.
Spike?
Yes.
Comedy Central. And, yeah, he just goes around and interviews people and pretty much just annoys them. Just annoys him.
Your kind of show?
It's my kind of show. It's very funny. We also have Adam Carolla this week in Rage. Because it is Wednesday, we have me trying to convince Ralph that the World Series, Women's World Cup is worth watching.
Well, you got two strikes against you, women and soccer. So good luck
with that. Yeah, that's true, unfortunately. But the Women's World Cup, by the way, women's soccer is much closer to men's soccer than other sports.
Still women, though.
They play well.
Still women, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's fat. You watched the game on Sunday. Don't act all tough.
I did. I'm just saying.
Did a tear come to your eye at the end of the game?
I mean, I was chanting USA, USA, if that's what you mean.
If you were able to cry, would you have cried?
I might have. Yeah. I might have cried a single red, white, and blue tear.
Yeah. We also have the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on today's program, which is going to make Ralph very happy. And we have, Breakfast with Incubus.
How about that?
Perhaps. Hey. Also coming up. So we'll take a quick break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat, and that is next.
Kevin and Bean Show, Breakfast with Incubus, happening later on today. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for a first look at the Showbiz Beat. How you doing, Ralph?
Come on, Claudy.
Oh,
bring it home.
Here we go again. Dude, the clot is so, that's so yesterday's disaster. Now I've got the neck.
Oh, the neck.
Ralphie came in today going, I slept on my neck wrong, and then he started calling it a sports injury.
I've got spinal meningitis,
and now
dude.
He thinks he's going to die.
I do think I'm likely
everything
to die.
That happens to Bean, he thinks he's going to die.
You know me. There's no situation that I can't see the absolute blackest part of.
Right.
You
but,
know that.
But if you wouldn't mind following through on one of these times.
I've tried to also keep Ralph's mood up. Just by teasing him every day that the possibility exists. Exactly, yes. Right.
Well, somebody, you know, it's easy to make Bean feel better. Just someone get a length of cord or a rope or a belt or something.
Good.
Wrap it around his neck.
Okay, good.
And then just pull it as tightly as you possibly can.
Okay,
and
all
then
right.
just hold that for, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half.
An hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, whatever,
a lot of cords
whatever it takes.
A lot of big electrical cords here. I think we could make that
Grab
happen.
A nice thick piece of electrical cord.
All right.
Wrap it around his neck. Twist it,
good.
Twist it, and then when he stops complaining, leave it there for another half an hour.
Leave it there for half an hour.
Yeah, okay. and then he should be right as rain. So
we'll take
my
care
suggestion.
Of it.
Yeah. Before I get to showbiz news today, I do have some passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Captain America, the First Avenger. It's going to happen at the El Capitan Theater in beautiful downtown Hollywood this coming Tuesday, July the 19th. The movie, of course, is in theaters everywhere Friday, July the 22nd. But I get one pair of tickets for the first caller who knows the answer to my Captain America trivia question that I've been asking all week and will continue to ask all week long. Of course, you know the story of Captain America.
You don't have to tell us.
Steve Rogers, scrawny little 4F dude.
What's 4F?
4F, back in World War II, Kevin, when you were drafted into the military,
right.
They would give you a physical exam.
Right.
And I forget what the top rating was in terms of your physical health.
And it's not 4F?
If 4F was the bottom, was the
bottom.
Opposite of that.
So it'd be what
like,
would bean be?
I think 1A. I think 1A was the you're in tip-top physical condition and welcome to the Army, sir. All 4F was, hey, scrawny douchebag loser, we have no need for you. Even against the Nazis, we'd rather not have you in our military.
And this was mostly so that people with asthma or club feet and stuff like that, that would prevent them from doing a good job in battle, went to war, right?
That's right.
Bean is a 4F, no question.
Oh, absolutely Bean would be 4F. He would be booted right out.
Unless there's a lower grade. All right.
But Steve Rogers was quite the patriot, and he really wanted to fight for his country and do the right thing. So he kept going back and going back and going back, and they kept saying, no, you're too frail, you're too scrawny, you're no use to us in the military.
Right.
But then they decided to use him as a lab rat for a special top secret government project where they're going to inject him with the super soldier serum and bombard him with Vita rays. That's right, Vita rays.
This is a true story, right?
It's a true story.
Okay.
And that would cause a metabolic change in Steve Rogers and turn him into a super soldier. And that's how we got Captain America. All I need to know is what was the code name of the top secret military experiment that Steve Rogers was the lab rat for. And, you know, sadly, Professor Erskine was killed right after this experiment, so they could only create one super soldier. This was going to be a whole platoon of super soldiers, but there was only one, and he became Captain America. So what was the code name, military code name, for the secret experiment that made Steve Rogers Captain America? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First person through with the correct answer will win a pair of passes to go see Cap.
This has been the best movie year in Ralph's life, by the way.
It is a comic book palooza.
It's insane.
One thing you call it, the other.
You call it what, Ralph?
A comic book palooza?
No, Cap.
Cap.
That's what he calls the movie.
That's what everyone calls Captain America. That is his nickname amongst the Avengers, of which I am one of them.
Well, you're not, but okay.
Yeah, so come see Cap with me next week if you're the correct caller. All right. While we're talking about movies, I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a stuntman who got horribly injured during the filming of The Hangover Part 2. Stunt went wrong. He suffered a critical brain injury. Did not look good for Scott McClain. However, great news on 60 Minutes. They did an interview and a follow-up with him, and he is making a stunning recovery. He can walk, already run short distances, and his speech is slowly returning. Here's the thing that sticks in my craw. They asked Scott what he wants to do now with the rest of his life, and he said he can't wait to get back to work as a stuntman as soon as possible. Really?
That's what he enjoys.
Yeah, but come on.
You almost died, don't do it again.
Right. Learn your lesson. You almost died. And I'm telling you, as much as he recovers, and I hope he gets full use of all his faculties, he's not going to be the exact same guy he was before. And apparently he wasn't a very good stuntman to begin with.
Well,
because he almost died.
That didn't help.
That's right. So I think Scott should do something else. Maybe news on our show or something. I don't know. Let's offer him a job.
So he's already had a catastrophic injury. Now you want him to give up his dreams.
I want him to live. That's
he can join Dave and I on America's Best Dance Crew. He can join us on that.
You can be the third member of your dance crew. Yeah. Lindsay Lohan says she actually misses all the time alone while she was on house arrest. She really enjoyed it, she said.
Yeah.
Is that the whole purpose of going to jail? For your enjoyment?
No. But no. Do you believe it? Does she ever stay home when she has the option of leaving?
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, she doesn't have to go out every night. Right. She could stay home
as much as she wants.
She has the option now to stay home, but she has not exercised that option since.
She certainly doesn't have a job to leave to go to.
Since the anklet came off, she's been out and about quite a bit. But she said, you know, she was enjoyed to being home, and it kept her from having to worry about photographers following her every time she went somewhere.
Sure.
But she says the reason she's glad to be out of the house is that she can go back to complete her mandatory community service. She's really looking forward to that.
That is something to really look forward to. It's fun.
We all are.
Hey, when Kevin and I had to do all that community service all those years ago when Mark and Brian killed that guy, we just couldn't wait to go spend more time with homeless people. Remember, we'd get up in the morning and go, oh, please tell me today's community service day. We've got to get back there and pick ticks out of their pubic hair. Right, or whatever we were doing.
That's not what you did, is it?
I seem to remember it was something like that.
That's what I remember.
Maybe that was just some guy in an alley who talked me into it.
Hey, I'm part of your community service.
I'm Buzz.
Yeah, I'm Buzz. Get down there and start picking. Yeah. And this is exciting TV news. You remember Lawrence Fishburne announced he would not be returning for the 12th season of CSI.
The only celebrity with a bigger head than me?
That's right. He's got a big head.
And he replaced William Peterson, right?
That's right, who is still executive producer of the show, but he did leave as Grissom, who was the lead in that show. They just announced who will be stepping in and taking over the starring role on CSI for its 12th season.
See if Kevin can guess, by the way. One of the biggest TV stars of the last 20 years, right, Ralph?
I bet he can. It is, yes, and I bet he can't.
And you'll still be blown away when you hear this news.
By who it's going to be.
Yeah. Who's going to be? Picture CSI.
Right.
Yeah! Who do you want CSI. In that role as the lead CSI dude?
Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, oddly enough.
All right. Yeah. Famous television star. That's great. Yes.
Yeah, it looks like this guy was killed with an ice pick, you know?
That'd be awesome. Tell me you wouldn't watch that.
No, every week.
That's my guess. I don't know who it is.
Ted Danson.
What? Yeah!
That could be interesting.
Funny man Ted Danson is going to be the leader of the CSI team on CBS.
How long has it been since he's been on anything regularly?
Well, he's on Bored to Death.
Bored to Death with Jason Schwartzman, of course. He's great on that
true,
show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had a season of Damages. Damages was Glenn Close. Yeah.
I don't picture him doing serious work. But
did you see him on
Damages?
Damages. Yeah.
He did in
Deadly
Damages.
Serious.
And he was good, yeah.
And he's done a ton of straight roles. He did a TV movie called Something About Amelia once, which was about incest, and was just devastating. He's a very, very good dramatic actor. But
interesting choice.
You do think of him primarily as a comedian, but I think he's going to be good. So there you go, CSI fans. Here's your new leader. Let's talk to the winner for our trivia question, shall we? I think Dwayne is on line five. Dwayne?
Hi.
Hey.
It was Operation Rebirth.
Operation Rebirth. That's right. Congratulations.
Nerd.
Hold on. We're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see the red carpet world premiere of Captain America, the first Avenger next week.
Geek.
Stop
now,
it.
These Captain America tickets that you're giving away all week, Ralph, you're just giving them one ticket each, right? Because they can't use the other one with no friends and no girls.
They have friends and girls, I'll have you know.
Oh, imaginary.
Got an email from a guy this morning who's desperate to go to the premiere. He has a Captain America tattoo on his arm. And he said his wife loves it. So there you go.
Yeah.
A married man is a comic
book. That guy has a wife.
We
sure.
do exist. We
send
do
an
exist.
Email to him. Let's talk to his wife.
The woman he writes letters to in prison is impressed with the tattoo.
Would you stop you?
Let's send his wife, but not him.
I want everyone listening to remember this chatter when we're down in San Diego for Comic-Con next week.
Listen, I agree. I can't believe you're bad-mouthing this movie. I are behind it.
I want you to bring blunt objects for which to beat Kevin and Bean about the face and neck with. I'd appreciate that. Of course, Bean won't be with us. He'll be long dead by then.
I'll be dead, right.
Sure. Today's celebrity birthday is Patrick Stewart. While we're talking about geeks, how much geek cred does this guy have? Not only was he the captain of the Starship Enterprise, but he was also Professor X of the X-Men.
Yeah, pretty strong.
Come
pretty
on.
Strong.
He's 71 years old today. Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, and Han Solo himself is 69. Cheech Marin of the legendary comedy team Cheech and Chong is 65 years old today. Actor, director, writer Cameron Crowe is 45. Will Champion! Will Champion! It sounds like he should be a superhero.
It does.
He's the drummer of Coldplay. He's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Incubus on their way. They'll be joining us at a super secret location for Breakfast with Incubus here on the Kevin DeBean Show, performing live. They'll also be answering our questions and yours. Plus, I believe we're streaming today. You can go to kevindebean.com if you want to watch the entire broadcast. And why wouldn't you? Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on, man?
Incubus. Breakfast with Incubus.
Right.
Yes, do a little later.
But we do have time now for Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Here they are now. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
No, no, no. They're not here yet. We have time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Ralph, don't be a downer, man. Come on. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
You don't be a downer. Don't make people listen to the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
It's always good.
It.
No
wait
one loves it.
Wait until you hear, Ralph, some of the stories that have popped up in the last couple of weeks that we are about to call on to get more information. You're going to be very impressed with the range here.
We have on the wheel the slut herpes horses.
Wow.
We have the heavy metal Aussie great white shark.
Oh, I don't know what lands on that.
Mm-hmm.
We have the world's wooliest sheep in heaven.
Oh, F you.
Always in heaven.
You.
Well, the world's wooliest sheep died, Lisa.
It did die.
I wouldn't want to talk to the world's wooliest sheep if it was alive, let alone when it's in heaven.
How about if we change it to hell? How about that? The post office hating Alaskan eagles.
Oh, that sounds dramatic.
Cookie the ticklish penguin.
Oh, I love Cookie so much.
That's Bean's ringtone, by the way,
yes,
just for the record.
Yes,
you call
God,
Bean, that goes
damn
off.
You.
Yeah. We have the rabid Philly beavers. We have the prehistoric mega wombat. Ooh. We have the death-defying ninja squirrel.
Oh, I can't wait.
And we have the always-present Finnish Hitler mocking dog.
So did you say the prehistoric mega wombat?
That's correct.
So you want to call a wombat, and that only is not real, but lived in the prehistoric era.
No, no, Israel. Israel.
Israel? He's in
Israel? Wait, you're calling Israel? Ralph, this is Ralph. That's more of a stretch than most of these. Really,
yes, the wombat, it really is.
The wombat did live, though.
Yeah, it I did think. Live. But you want to call back to prehistoric times in order
yes.
to talk to the mega wombat?
Yes, yes.
Go and if you laugh would, yourself.
If you would ever stick around for the punchline, you would see how funny this bit is.
I consider myself blessed for not having been around when you guys do the punchline, as you call it.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Wheel of Bandit Noises.
It's time for the
Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
All right, let's spin that wheel and see where it lands.
Hope we get to use the prehistoric cell phone.
I do too.
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
The post office hating Alaskan Eagle.
No.
Oh,
no.
Sweet.
No. No. Nope.
Sweet. Ralph, this, but
no.
Ralph,
this, come back. No.
This is the good part.
This is a symbol of America attacking people at a post office. Oh, Ralph, you're going to miss it.
This story comes out of Anchorage, Alaska. A pair of bald eagles nesting near a post office in Dutch Harbor, Alaska, have taken to dive bombing customers. They have little babies, and they want to protect them, and they're right near a post office. So every time somebody walks into the post office, they're kamikaze eagles.
Can you imagine?
They just come right out of the sky and try to peck you to death.
And by the way, I've got a crow problem at my house, but eagles are far more dangerous. I mean, they can F you up.
Yeah, and you can't do anything to them, or so I thought, until I realized that in Alaska, they're not protected. Did you know
what?
That?
No.
In Alaska, they are not protected.
Sarah Palin must be killing so many of them.
So apparently these eagles are very, very upset with the post office. And we've had our producer, Alex, line up somebody at the post office so we could talk to him about it, which is fantastic. Let's see who we've got. Hello, sir.
Hello, what? is this the post office in Dutch Harbor, Alaska?
No! This is the eagle outside the post office.
Well, now you're answering the phones, too.
I see. Hey, what's going on there? We were just reading a story about you attacking people coming in and out of the post office. What's that about?
That's the post office.
What? But why? What's wrong with it?
I tried to send a package priority mail two months ago.
Uh-huh.
To my family.
Right.
In Philadelphia.
Right. Well, sure.
And they never got there.
Why didn't you
and
just fly it there?
And I took it and I said, could you please track this package?
Right.
And they said, we don't know where it went. You have to file some paperwork. Post office.
That can be infuriating.
are you flying right now, Mr. Eagle?
Yes. You hear my wings?
Yeah,
we do.
That's what I thought.
Don't ask questions.
don't ask questions.
Yeah. Right.
Well, why don't you? What?
What?
Well said.
The
eagle speaks better than you do.
I know. The customers don't have anything to do with that. Then why don't you attack the people who work at the post office that lost your package?
I'm trying to drive away all the business from the post office so it'll close.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
There's that in line at the post office.
It sucks, yeah.
Dear God.
Yeah, it really does take forever.
I'm using UPS next time.
How many people would you guess you attack per day?
As many as I can.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What about Kevin's question, which was, why didn't you just fly the package there yourself instead of sending it via the mail?
From Alaska to Philadelphia.
Right. That's a long flight.
Yeah, it is.
I withdraw the question.
And there's no moving on the flight.
And being re-asked it. Yeah, that's
right.
True. That's a good point. So you attack as many people as you can a day. How many of you are there? Just you and your bride?
Yes. Me and my bride.
What do you call a married couple that are eagles? I don't know.
Husband and wife. You got it.
Husband and wife. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Her name's Brenda. You can call her Brenda.
Brenda. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you believe that Ralph didn't want us to do this bit?
I tell you, and the logo for the post office. You know what it is?
It's an eagle.
Yeah.
It's an actual eagle. Yes.
Yeah. Goddamn right. I haven't seen dime one. Not dime one from the post office.
Oh, that's a ripoff. Yeah.
I want a little residual money. You know what I'm saying?
No wonder I earned it. No wonder you hate him. Of course. You should be getting paid every time. That is very loud. that is a loud noise.
What's happening there?
That's painful.
How come you speak English, but that eagle only speaks eagle?
Is that eagle?
I can translate. Yeah. See? I told you not to do this bit. That's what he's saying.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean show, by the way. Our old friend Mark Burnett will be joining us. He, of course, the brain behind Survivor, Celebrity Apprentice. He's got a new show that just looks ridiculous called Expedition Impossible he'll be telling us about. Dr. Drew, not a doctor, joins us on the program.
He
tomorrow.
Is a doctor.
And later in the week, Eddie Izzard is going to be here, too. Plus,
he's also a doctor. A lot of people don't know that.
Plus, Carmageddon tips coming up on today on this week's Kevin and Bean show.
So I got an email that said, hey, Kevin, is it Ralph's fault that you didn't talk about the Women's World Cup on Monday? And I said, oh, yes.
There has been a lot of hate for your enthusiasm and excitement for the Women's World Cup play this year.
Just listen to it. Women's World Cup.
It's the Women's World Cup.
Yeah, okay. Bad enough you talk about the regular World Cup. Now you want to talk about the Women's World Cup.
But here's the thing. First of all, I have daughters who play soccer.
Great. Enjoy that at home.
That's great.
Right.
So that got me into it. But I'm telling you.
That would be like Ralph coming in talking about the cutest baby pageant on TV because he has an infant.
Yeah. And well, I'm going to come in and talk about the Fisher-Price airplane then because my child plays with that at home.
I love soccer as well. I was just saying that's part of the tie. But I love soccer as well.
Great.
So but I'm also an American.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what you are, but I'm an American and I care about USA. That's the difference between you and me.
Yeah, I know. You're always talking about the debt ceiling and how we
That's
make
right.
this country better, and when the elections roll around, you're the first guy at the polls.
So the game on Sunday, the people are talking about so much because it was an unbelievable game.
Yes.
Where there was a horrible call. They got two chances for a kick, and then they played two overtimes.
Wow.
And then in the extra time after the second overtime,
what?
This happened.
Rapinoe gets a crossing. It's towards Rothbard.
Can't hear the voices very well, can you?
Of magic from Hope Solo. Ali Krieger can win it for the USA here. And she does! And the USA are into the last four! It's been a near miracle, this, in Dresden.
It's been a near miracle, Ralph.
It is one of the most dramatic matches I have ever seen in men or women's soccer.
Huh.
Yeah.
One of the most dramatic games he's seen in men or women's soccer.
Right, because most of them end in ties.
Right, but this didn't.
Exactly. That's why
and it was
stands
amazingly.
Out. That's why it stands out, because it's not as BS as soccer usually is. Congratulations.
Look, I hate ties.
A game that's not BS.
I
well
hate
done,
ties.
Soccer.
I hate ties as much as you do. Right. I hate
How
ties.
Many games end in ties
a
in
lot.
Soccer?
But here's the thing. You love football. Most football games aren't that good. Most football games don't come down to the end where it's a last play.
The
most
worst football, games, football game. The worst football game is better than any soccer. Soccer game. That's
this
why.
Was unbelievable the way that they won at the very last second.
Yeah.
It was one of those games where SportsCenter immediately came on and did the top 20 comebacks of all time. They went crazy over it.
Right.
You know why? Because it was a sport that everyone cared about, and they're Americans, as I am.
Right.
I bleed red, white, and blue. How about you?
How many hockey games have ended with last-second goals that send the winners to the next round of the Stanley Cup Finals? Yes, exactly. That's a sport that's filled with excitement and interest.
Look, smoke a lot of weed and then watch soccer, and it's sort of like you're watching hockey.
By the way, the reason Kevin is bringing this up today is because the next round is going to be USA versus France in less than 2 hours.
By the way, this is going to make Ralph even more angry. This is going to be great. You guys are going to love this. This was just the quarterfinal.
Right.
This was not the finals. Like, we didn't win the World Cup.
They didn't really
win
anything yet.
They won the game.
They advanced.
They advanced to the semifinals, which are today at 8:30 on ESPN.
So we get to watch women play more soccer.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's a high level of soccer, though, Ralph. I am not kidding.
Well, now that's the part I wanted to ask about.
Bean watched it.
But here's the thing. When women can play the sport as good as any man, they stand out in the sport. Does that make you question the sport at all?
No, not a bit.
No?
Not a bit, no.
What other sports do women excel at? Well, you got the WNBA, of course. They're the
no,
best.
No, WNBA.
They are just as good as them.
I'm telling you that the WNBA.
Well, Powder Puff football, that's as exciting as professional football. I know that's
Softball. Poker.
Women's softball is as good.
Oh, poker no, women are as good.
I think it's just soccer and badminton are the only two sports, really, where women are competitive as
it's
men.
It's high-quality soccer, A. B, the USA has dominated. The men, unfortunately, are like the stepchild of the world. The women of the USA have been in first place for a long, long time and are expected to win the World Cup. And I'm an American.
You keep repeating that. Yes.
Because
you're an American
root,
woman, apparently.
Because I root for America, uh-huh. That makes me an American.
Yeah. Well, Ralph
there bleeds must be a, Philly black. There must That's
be a,
all there is.
There must be a Pakistani team or somebody that Ralph could root for, right?
Because he's not American?
The Al-Qaeda team?
So. Do you root for the Al-Qaeda team?
Really? This is, all you're going to do is just drape yourself in the flag. It's your only defense for women's soccer, really, is that
yes.
They're American.
Yes.
Oh, that's just sad.
Well, how about this? Are any of them hot?
Oh, some of them are. Yeah, Hope Solo, the goalie, is super hot. Yeah.
Okay. Solo is her name? Hope
that's
Solo?
Her name. Yeah, look her up. She's hot.
Is her teammate Chewbacca?
No, that's her name.
Did she make the Kessel run in 12 parsecs?
She's considered the best... This I'm wasting my breath.
No,
the best,
this is spectacular.
Best goalie in the world. All right, let me ask.
Well, we know. Look, you're right. It's
Ralph,
America, and soccer
on.
Is the most popular sport in America. That's why you root for it.
Ralph,
oh, wait
on.
A minute. No, it's only popular in all third right. world countries where you can play with a severed head.
All right, hater. That was in, what movie was that? That was the best. What
it was
in
one of the Saw movies, wasn't it?
I don't think it was Saw, but it was one of those type where they were kicking around a head. Bean watched the game.
I did see. I saw the last
Well,
hour,
right? Yeah. You know, as long as Bean's on board, then you win. Absolutely.
Bean is not a guy who watches a lot of soccer like I do.
Right. That's true.
And
I was caught up.
Vouch.
I was caught up in it because I was seeing online that everybody was outraged by how bad the officiating was,
right.
And how the USA women were not giving up, and how it was becoming an increasingly closer and closer and closer game.
And
as
when
it got near
you
the end.
Tuned in, was it maybe the most inspiring thing you'd seen in a month?
No, but
a week.
I mean, it was an impressive
that day.
It was the best thing on my TV that time. I'll
right.
tell you that. That Sunday
sure.
morning,
yeah.
It was an amazing game.
I mean, it was a really, really good comeback.
Right.
I don't.
You don't care as much as I do.
I don't think I would be TiVoing today's game to
today
be sure to
they
watch
play
it
at 8:30.
Tonight.
Are you kidding?
I don't think I would do that. I would be interested to find out who won.
Ralph, TiVo the game.
No. Look, congratulations. There was an exciting moment in
it
soccer. I'm happy
it was
for you.
An amazing.
But don't use this to try to tell us that soccer's a good sport. Stop that.
Oh, come on.
Look,
now.
If you're on an island full of people in wheelchairs and somebody gets out and starts walking, you're like, wow, look at that. There's a person that can walk on this island of cripples.
All right, Ralph,
it doesn't make you want to live on the island of cripples.
All right, Ralph, here. I would like to live on the island of cripples.
You do
Ralph,
live on the island of cripples,
listen,
by the
Ralph,
way.
Ralph, listen to me. You'll love this, and I guarantee it, or I will give you $20. All right?
All right, I'm going to watch the next soccer game.
No, not that. I put up a post today, kevinandbean.com, and there are highlights of the game. Skip that. You won't like that. Skip that. The second video that's up is of the worst fake injury that I've ever seen. I know that's one of your big complaints, and it's one of my big complaints.
They just flop all over the pitch.
Every time somebody touches them, they fall down, and they look like they're going to die.
Yes.
This girl falls down. She's just walking, and the video is just her. She falls down. The ref comes over. They bring a stretcher. They put her on the stretcher. As soon as they get the stretcher off the field, she takes the strap off, jumps off the stretcher, and runs back into the game. And the entire place boos. It's the worst fake injury I've ever seen in my life. And it's comical. Well, you will like that because it will help you hate soccer even more.
You've done an excellent job here today, Kevin.
I don't really need any more help hating soccer.
It is so funny to watch this lame-ass girl try to fake that she's hurt.
Well, I think you just won, Ralph.
All right. So you're in?
Yes, now I'm in. Now I
Fantastic.
Apologize.
We're about an hour and 10 minutes away from our Breakfast with Incubus. Of course, you can listen to it right here on the radio like you do or stream in all over the world. You know, you can always hear the show. Today, you can see the show once the band gets here because finally we got some good-looking guys in here.
Yeah.
So there'll be something to watch. So go to Kevin. Kevinandbean.com if you'd like to watch Breakfast with Incubus. And, of course, we'll be asking our questions and yours coming up on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have more passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of Captain America, the first
Yay!
Avenger. It all happens at the El Capitan Theater Tuesday. Get it? Captain America happens at the El Capitan.
Sure.
Because in Espanol, Capitan.
Uh-huh. I don't.
Está captain en inglés.
I don't. What's español?
It happens Tuesday, July the 19th. Friday, July the 22nd is the date that the movie's in theaters everywhere. But if you'd like to go early and see it alongside the movie's stars, like Chris Evans, who of course is Cap, and we've got Haley Atwell, who stars as Peggy Carter in the film. Tommy Lee Jones is in the film. Stanley Tucci. Great, great cast. So if you'd like to go, I've been asking Captain America trivia questions all week long, and we'll continue to do so because I want real Cap fans to get a chance to see the film.
You want dudes?
No, because the hot chicks continue to email me and represent and say, Kevin Bean, don't understand that there are many hot fangirls out here.
Right, yeah.
And I say, this is true. Here's your trivia question.
And the boyfriends say, come on, text.
The Avengers Of course, Captain America, the first Avenger, alludes to the fact that Captain America does become one of the original Avengers, the superhero team that is Iron Man and Hulk and Ant-Man and the original Avengers. In 1964, in Avengers number 4, the comic book, that's when they'd rediscover Captain America's frozen body. He was in suspended animation from World War II. That's how he gets updated. That's how they find him in the present day. So the film, of course, takes place in World War II, but I'm assuming there will be a time where Captain America gets frozen in an iceberg in suspended animation and then revived. All you need to tell me is what other Marvel superhero found Captain America in that iceberg in the comic books. What other Marvel superhero was responsible for discovering Captain America frozen body in that iceberg? If you know the answer, call now, 1-800-520-1067.
I can't just stop thinking about something you told us yesterday. Is Paste Pot Pete making an appearance in the new Captain America movie?
I don't believe Paste Pot Pete will be in the new Captain America movie, unless, of course, Baron Zemo shows up with Adhesive X.
Well, obviously.
Obviously. Oh, such a good week for me. You know who's in the news a lot this week?
Who?
Pia Toscano.
All right.
Pia Toscano, of course, was my crush from American Idol this past season. She was booted off about halfway through the season, inexplicably.
It was shocking, yes.
Voted off of American Idol. That's when I lost faith
in
that
show. She was the favorite, Kevin. People thought she was going to win the whole thing.
Oh, I know. Best singer and best looking person.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Both of those. She came in ninth on the show. Well, she's got a new single. It was just released this week. And I'm telling you something. Pia Toscano was voted off with eight other people in front of her. I guarantee you that her career will be bigger than the person who won American Idol. I don't remember the name of that person.
That's almost always the case.
But this new single, I brought a little taste of it. Look, it may not be your style of music. It is sort of very pop, and this is kind of a power ballad. But her voice is just remarkable. And she's way hot, too. So here's a little taste of her new single. It's called This Time, Pia Toscano.
That sounds fine for that type of music.
Carson Daly is so happy right now.
She is good. She is good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that I go that far, but...
Oh, come on. Even if you don't like that music, listen to that voice. That's a great voice. She's a great singer.
All right, take it easy.
Shut up! What if she played soccer? Would you like her then? What if she was a soccer player?
Maybe I would.
Oh, women's soccer. Oh, look at that.
Not everybody likes all the same things, Ralph. It's probably good.
You don't have to like it to know that she's got talent. That's all I'm saying. She is a gifted woman.
I think that's your boner talking.
I am buying all the copies of her album when it
comes
out later this year. That's
definitely your boner talking.
I am buying them all.
Boobies!
I'm taking out another mortgage on the house so I can buy all of the copies of her CD. Ah, Weezer, while we're talking about music, they've got two rather unique concert events coming up. They are side-by-side concerts with the Flaming Lips.
Side-by-side?
Yes, both bands will be on stage at the same time, taking turns doing their songs.
That's
weird. That's insane.
What's the point of that?
I don't know, but I love it.
You do?
They're both weird bands, and I like that they're doing something weird.
In that particular scenario, I would listen to a song, get a beer, listen to a song, get a beer.
Oh, come on. Flaming Lips are great.
Any sense.
Yeah, I'm not down with them.
First two shows are July the 28th and the 29th in New Jersey and on Long Island in New York. And it is an interesting way to present music. You got to give them that.
How bored is Weezer, by the way?
That they want to do a side-by-side concert with the Flaming Lips?
What's wrong with just going out and putting on a show?
I'm tired of playing two songs in a row.
Not interesting.
We need to
enough.
Do something else.
Not
That's
interesting
exhausting.
Enough. Let's talk to my winner, shall we? Will. I know it's a...
Oh, it's a dude.
I know what are the odds. It's a gentleman who has won these tickets. Let's see if Will knows the answer. Will?
Hello?
What Marvel superhero found Captain America in suspended
Namor
animation? What's that?
Namor the Submariner.
Namor the Submariner!
Yeah! Geek.
Oh, the Submariner. Oh, Lisa.
Geek.
Lisa, you don't know.
Nerd. Geek.
He's half human, half Atlantean.
You didn't have to tell us.
You know. He
could have guessed that.
He
yeah.
protects the seas and Atlantis from the,
Wait,
from
what
the
is
air breathers.
What does Aquaman do then?
It's sort of the same thing.
Okay.
But, you know, Aquaman is DC and Submariner is Marvel.
Do they ever fight? Do they ever get together?
No, they're
Are
in
they
different
on the same side?
Universes. They don't know each other.
Bean,
stop asking such stupid questions.
I'm sorry,
I
didn't know. It seems like they would know each other if they're both superheroes who live under the sea. Do they know SpongeBob?
Yes, they both know SpongeBob.
Okay.
Congratulations, Will. Hold on, we're going to give you all the details, but you're going to see Captain America, the First Avenger, before anybody else. Today's celebrity birthdays. Patrick Stewart is 71 years old today. Harrison Ford celebrates his 69th birthday. Cheech Marin is 65. Cameron Crowe, very talented actor and director and writer. He is 54 years old. Will Champion of Coldplay celebrates his 33rd birthday. And Ken Jeong.
Love him so much.
Who is in every movie that gets made, and still not in enough movies for me, oddly enough. He also stars on Community, a very popular NBC TV series with our buddy Joel McHale. His birthday is today, and we said his birthday was a month ago, and everybody was wishing Ken happy birthday, and he actually tweeted me and said, "Today is not my birthday." Stop
That's
saying
so funny.
That.
So he was listening.
He was listening, and he...
And surprised to find out that it was his birthday.
And it was listed wrong, in our defense, on a lot of entertainment news websites and that kind of stuff. But it turns out today is his actual birthday, so he wanted to set the record straight and wish Ken a very, very happy birthday.
I'd like to say the 13th of every month is his birthday.
And unlike that poser Dr. Drew, Ralph, Dr. Ken is an actual doctor.
Right? He is a medical doctor as well. Right? Dr. Drew's a real doctor.
He gave up healing via medicine... So he could heal us with the power of laughter.
How about that?
How about that?
Come on. That was touching.
Thank you so much. You want to hear some more Pia Toscano?
No.
All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Lisa. How you doing?
Hey, Bean. I'm good.
I miss you.
Me too.
Bean and I are out of the studio because we are in a super secret location. We're an hour from now. We're going to start a breakfast with Incubus.
How about that? Incubus, new album, just came out yesterday. If not now, when? They'll be performing live for us and taking our questions. You can go to kevinandbean.com if you want to watch it. Also, Adam Carolla joins us later this hour right now. How about John Benjamin? You know, the guy with the van. We've got him. Comedy Central show airs Wednesday nights at 10:30. And John joins us on the Kevin and Bean show, I think, for the first time. Hey, John, how are you, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Great. Great
John,
to talk to you.
John Benjamin Has a Van is the name of the show. Was that a placeholder? Or was that the name that you all went, yes, that's weird enough, it's perfect?
Well, I knew I wanted a van in there, and then we worked around that.
Okay.
Now, did you already have a van, or was this, hey, I'll come up with this title, and then Comedy Central will be forced to buy me a van?
Well, they rented.
I don't think anybody makes a goal of getting a van.
I think when I was 8, I wanted a van. So,
okay.
Right. Yeah, maybe it's so I waited a long time and I got it.
You know, it's always interesting, and I'm.
I know I've had
like,
opportunities to buy a van in this.
Right,
area.
Right. Oh, with the Comedy Central money, man, you could probably get one with I don't know 36 easy payments. You could own one. Right. It's always interesting to me to see what the show is that gets you a Comedy Central show, because you're a guy who obviously people in comedy have known for a long time. You've been doing comedy for a really, really long time. You appeared on lots of shows, both as an actor and as a voice actor. How did it happen? Like, what was the breakthrough where finally Comedy Central said, oh, that guy, that dude's funny, let's put him on?
I just saw a guy in the street, and he was like, oh, that guy, Jesus, give him a show.
That's the way to do it, all right.
Yeah. I don't know exactly. I think it was just they ran out of options.
Did you come up with the idea and go out and shoot some of them and then show them some video of it? Or?
David Alan Greer was busy.
Yeah, right, exactly. And they used every other comic, so you were next. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Now, your show I love because basically your job, as you see it, is just to annoy people, right? I mean, that's really, that's what you're going for. You,
well,
annoy
not
them,
all of it, but
make them uncomfortable.
I would say like 60-65% is annoying people.
Like I saw Cash Stall. That was great because, is that the name of it, Cash Stall? Because men do not ever want to speak to another human being in the bathroom, and you sit in a stall and you try to ask them questions. And if I recall how that one ended, you were crawling underneath to another stall because the guy was trying to break in.
I was attacked.
That
yeah,
seems bad.
Yeah,
you don't want to get attacked when you're in a bathroom. That's
no, I didn't want to be on a bathroom floor ever, a public bathroom floor.
That's true. You did crawl underneath the stall.
But it was like my only survival technique at that point.
It might have been safer, considering it was a bathroom floor, to just take the punch.
Right. I mean, now with the herpes, it's been worse. So.
That's the first time that sentence has been said on our show lately. I'll tell you that.
Right. When you rub your face, when you drag your face for 10 feet on a public bathroom floor, something happens.
So you wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah. See, John is educational and entertaining today. That's good advice for the kids, is to not do that. Now, I do know from our other friends, Dan Utosh and guys like that who have a Comedy Central show, that the budget is zero. So you're really limited by your own imagination and creativity. So you guys sit around in the room and you think, what's the scenario that we can afford? Let's go out and shoot it for TV.
Yes. And so there were a lot of public restrooms involved.
Sweet. Good.
Yeah.
Public restrooms is basically what you just decided that's going to be your bread and butter.
That's right.
You know, they let you shoot there for free. So,
hey, sure. Yeah. Chris Rock has got the black thing. John sure. Benjamin's got the men's rooms.
And
you know?
He might run into George Michael, so who knows?
There's a bonus there.
Why not?
I don't know if that's a good analogy, but this is the voice of
John Benjamin on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his show Wednesday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central called John Benjamin Has a Van. He is a very funny guy and a very fearless comic. And also I wanted to mention, just because you're on two of the other funniest shows on TV in Archer and mm-hmm. Bob's Burgers. Bob's Burgers, by the way, the big Sunday night lineup spot, it still doesn't seem like it's caught on the way it should in terms of people talking about how funny it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's like, well, it was one season, and, you know, hopefully we're doing a second season now, and hopefully it will pick up. But I mean, I think it did pretty well, you know, relative to shows that have been on for 15 years or something that's around it.
They can't expect that right out of the box.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, you know, I wanted it. I wanted it to succeed more.
Because you want to buy a bigger, you want to buy a bigger and better van. You need the money.
I want to buy my own bathroom someday.
Well, anything you want to tell us before we go here, John, about what's coming up either this week or in future weeks of bits you're looking forward to people seeing on John Benjamin Has a Van?
Well, I know we, myself and David Cross, go out and try to Jew people up where we negotiate.
Up.
So we go to stores and try and offer as Jews. As Jews.
You offer more money.
And offer more money.
So I love that.
All the stereotype with that. And tonight, it's a very dark, depressing episode. So look forward to that.
All right. You know how to sell it.
That's what we were hoping for. Wednesday nights. Yeah. That's tonight, 10:30 on Comedy Central. John, great to finally have you on the Kevin Bean Show. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Live on location, super secret place today for Breakfast with Incubus, starting in about 40 minutes or so. Don't forget, go to kevinbean.com if you want to watch as well as listen. By the way, I like Incubus. I'm excited to be here. But these red velvet pancakes, maybe the greatest pancakes I've ever had in my life.
That sounds amazing.
Are they better than the burrito, the breakfast burrito?
That breakfast burrito at Disney was pretty amazing. These are from something called the Buttermilk Truck, Lisa. And they brought by red velvet pancakes. Am I in heaven or what?
Red velvet anything is delicious.
I know, right?
Pancakes, jeez.
Ralph did a story yesterday where he was talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and how he was going to be back in this Western movie.
I guess we weren't surprised that he was going to go back to acting once he got done with being the governor. That's as high a job as he can get. He's got nowhere left to go. Why not go back and make, you know, $10, $15, $20 million a picture
again? Well, he was going to be in it, and then he had the big scandal, so then they weren't sure about it. Now he's back. It's called Last Stand, and I can't picture Arnold as a Western star myself.
I can't either.
You see him with a cowboy hat on his
head? It's not like it's Clint Eastwood or somebody that, you know, you expect that. Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Old West?
There's literally no way he could be a cowboy.
Right. Yeah. Well,
he doesn't have the acting chops to pull it off.
He's going to tell you that he's the greatest actor in the world, I bet. And of course, he can make you believe he's in the Old West. And the former governor of the great state of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Arnold.
Howdy, partners. How are you?
Okay, see? Arnold, your first movie back as a Western?
Yes,
really?
Finally I get to be my true self. You know, how I really am, which has always been cowboy.
No?
Nothing
about a cowboy. Nothing.
Yeah, you're Don Tootin' right there, partner.
Look, you have a gun with you?
Yeah, my trusty six-shooter, which I always have in my holster when I mosey on down to the saloon. Take that, you varmints.
I'm not saying...
Governor, I'm not saying that you're stuck and you can only do science fiction movies.
I am.
That you become famous for the Terminators and those sorts of things.
No, that wasn't the real me. I was acting there with the Terminator and the Predators and all those films. This is the true me. Finally, I get to play the person that is close to my heart, you know, the cowboy I've always been on my trusty stallion.
Okay, but you didn't grow up in Wyoming, Arnold. You grew up in Austria, for God's sake.
That's not even the line. What are you shooting at, Arnold?
I'm just, shooting the cactus.
I see.
In the western street in which I live, with the tumbleweeds and the Ponies Express.
The Ponies Express, right.
Pony Espresso is what I drink in the morning.
You don't strike me as a guy who...
Hot Espresso.
Right. You don't strike me as a guy who lives in a town where there's tumbleweeds.
Oh, yeah. I've always lived in the West. Oh. Westwood, I lived.
Sure.
West LA.
Yeah, that's not
Santa Monica, that's west.
Yeah.
You can't get any more west than Santa Monica.
Right, but I'm not talking
about
right
the ocean.
That's
ocean.
True. But I'm talking about.
You're going to the ocean any more west than that.
I know that. In his defense, it's awfully west.
There's a new sheriff in town. His name's Arnold.
Okay. I don't know if I'm going to be able to buy this. What's happening now, Arnold?
I just moseyed into the saloon.
Oh, great.
Yeah, give me three fingers of your best whiskey, bartend.
I don't know. It might be the accent that is just screwing us up. I guess we're used to hearing American actors.
I know, it's hard to hear my Western drawl.
Are you trying to lose the accent? Because that would be necessary.
I don't even have an accent, you cowpokes. You sidewinders.
That doesn't... You're just throwing out words you saw in a book.
I'll kill all the buffaloes.
Okay,
from
Arnold.
The red man.
I'm not sure this
maybe
is for you.
Maybe stick to the script, I think, maybe the best way to go.
Listen,
you drop
you,
out.
You mangy coyotes.
All right,
don't
Governor.
Mess with me or I will take... You'll be strung up
okay.
in the with the hangman's noose.
Yes.
And then you will... I'm going to go panhandle for gold now.
This isn't working.
Okay. Yes. Good luck with that, guy.
Yippee-yaroo-pee-kai-law-the-way.
Save you as well.
You too. The audience has been led into the super secret location here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You guys ready for breakfast with Incubus? About 20 minutes from right now. Very excited. First, though,
the person furthest from the band is about 20 feet away.
I know. It's crazy, right? Yeah. I'm so glad that we have our friend Adam Carolla on every Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show because Adam is, he's a hermit. He's a Luddite. It's very difficult to hear Adam anywhere, see Adam anywhere. You can't meet him. You can't see him in person. There's no audio available from Adam Carolla. But at least 5 minutes a week, you know the Ace Man is going to be here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up, Adam?
Oh, it's so nice to be back on the show, fellas. I missed you.
It has been about 6 months. So how have you been?
Oh, man. Lonesome. I got to be honest with you.
AdamCarolla.com. You can go for all of the fine family of podcasts. I joke, of course, because no one is available more than Adam Carolla. You can see him on stage in Palm Springs at the Ace Hotel on the 21st, and then in August with dates in Las Vegas and Thousand Oaks, and on your TV tonight on the Speed Channel. This is The Car Show, and Adam, you are one of the stars of it. Tell us about it.
It's just basically Top Gear, but maybe a little bit funnier with me hosting it. John Sally's on and a bunch of other car nuts. And
is it called Top Queer?
Yes, it's a good show. It's a good car show. I will say that about it. I always feel weird because people want to know what's different about it, and there's nothing different about it. And it's like, what's different about your morning show?
Nothing.
And the answer is it's better than other morning shows.
We hope.
But why would be the answer? And
it's
then
tough,
it just sort of gets down to you, and then it just sounds like you're yanking your own chain.
I will tell you that they have decided that the sports fan is the person they're going after because every single sport I watch, I see Adam Carolla in a bathtub 25 times.
Yeah, that was a great day.
Adam, I know that you've made no secret of this. You're not a modest man, that you are literally a millionaire. Are you a guy who went crazy when those first band show checks started coming in and went out and bought a bunch of cars?
No, it's weird. I played it smart. I didn't buy any cars until I stopped making money, and then I really got bit by the bug. It'd be like if you just made, seven figures a year and never did an ounce of cocaine and then got S-canned and then started really getting into eight balls. That's the way I play.
So you're saying that's what people should do? That's your advice?
Yeah. Honestly, at the very beginning when I started making money, I'm a Corolla, so I was like, Jesus, $21,000 for a car? That's a lot of money.
Right, right.
So I didn't really figure it out until later on that you could actually buy them and use them as even investments. But now it's all race cars anyway.
Of course it is.
Sure.
The Car Show airs on the Speed Channel tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific. Adam is here, though, as he is every week on the Kevin and Bean Show with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting with three and making my way down to number one. First one I noticed when I was shooting the car show over the weekend, I put a blue blazer on. It was brand new. I put it on. I started to walk out on the stage, and then I noticed It was sewn up like a mummy. Like, it had the flaps in the back were sewn up with white thread. And then I looked at my sleeve, and it had a tag on it, and it was sewn up. And I don't mean the tag was stuck on there. I mean all four corners of this cardboard tag on the sleeve were sewn on there. And then I remembered a suit that got sent out to me in New York was the same way. And I didn't have scissors, and I was taking tweezers to it, and I was cutting on it, and then inevitably I tore a hole in the thing with the tweezers, and I thought, why is it when you buy a suit or a blazer, it has to be sewn shut, and then what are the chances that you're going to get that thing unsewn without putting a goddamn hole in it with the scissors, or better yet, what are the chances you're going to have the scissors with you, especially since you can't take them on an airplane anymore? Yeah. You don't have them in your travel kit, and they're not loosely put together. I mean, the one on the sleeve has four in the corner, and it's double knotted and sewn in tight, and you find yourself picking at it, and even if you get the threads cut apart, you end up having to pull at it with your teeth and stuff, and somewhere about 20 minutes into this charade, this fiasco, you start thinking to yourself, what the hell am I doing?
Adam, you need a coat scissor assistant.
Why? I need a coat wrangler. Well, you know what? I tried to get the dude who breaks in my shoes to do it, and he said it's a different union.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know, man.
That's it's not right.
Rough, but I thought, I ended up looking at it in the mirror, reaching back with the scissors, trying to cut the... I don't know why you have to sew the little flap shut in the rear.
I don't get
the
that.
Two panels shut. Woo! The world would spin off its axis if that thing just swung in the wind when it was shipped. So I reached back and I poked a hole in my new blazer with
Excellent.
These scissors. Why? And I think I know what the answer is. They want it sewed shut because they want you to put a hole in it. And then also, I never discover the buttons in a suit until 4 years in. You know, they always put the extra button that's like in the chest pocket or the lapel pocket or something
right,
like that.
Right.
It takes at least four weddings and maybe like seven funerals. I know it sounds like a bad rom-com there before I reach into that pocket and go, hey, buttons. And then I don't know what to do with them.
I'm so often amazed that Adam Carolla is able to function in the 21st century.
What do you
problems?
Do with those buttons? You can't throw them away. You might need them, but you know you sure as hell ain't sewing them on if one breaks off.
Here's my question, is when you were finished with all that work, did you still end up with a blue blazer?
Yes.
Because that's not good either.
Okay. Yeah, yes. The show has a nautical theme to it.
Okay, good.
All right, Griffith Park. I was thinking about this place. You been out to Griffith
sure,
Park lately?
Certainly. Yeah.
It's got the donkeys going in a circle there with the kids on the back. It's got the fountain. First, I realized we are a great society, and you want to know how you can judge the greatness of a society?
How?
By how they use their donkeys. We don't do anything with our donkeys except for put our kids on them and have them walk in a circle.
Right.
Other countries got jobs for their donkeys.
Oh, I don't like where this is headed.
I'm not saying what countries.
If
I'm
this
just
is
saying
headed
other
to Tijuana, I am interested.
They got to look at our donkeys and go, man, you got it good.
Yeah.
We're hauling
donkey,
ore.
The donkey
we're
born in America is the luckiest donkey on the earth. That's
oh,
true.
Oh, man, we're making underground movies. I mean, we're doing everything. You guys just walk in a circle with a fat three-year-old on your back. That's it.
America is a good, it's a good place to live if you're a donkey.
We don't ask them to do anything. They're a novelty. They do no work. And then you go to Griffith Park and you see next to the donkeys that are going nowhere is a train that goes in a circle. That's another sign you've arrived as a nation. We have a train, goes nowhere. Not hauling ore, not pulling timber, doing nothing. There's not a bunch of guys piled on the top and clipped off when they go over an overpass.
Yep, yep.
Just a train that goes in a circle next to some donkeys that go into a circle, and then you walk 100 feet from there, and there's a giant fountain. And all it does is shoot clean, drinkable water into the air until it evaporates. And we just, well, we got so much water, we don't know what to do with it. So we just fire it off in the air, and then it goes down the drain. Oh, we want to know, you know, oh, what's in the fountain? That's money. Sometimes people walk around and they get tired of carrying their money, so they throw it at the water. No, they're not angry at the clean, drinkable water. They just throw it at it.
If people are listening to this on the podcast, they're in Africa right now. They're weeping, Adam. They're weeping in America.
we have pants and it weighs our trousers down, and we're, sometimes we're tired from looking at the donkey go in a circle, so we just throw our money at the water.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we don't use it for irrigation or drinking or anything. It just evaporates. Anyway, how are you guys doing?
It's clean enough to drink. We just don't use it that way.
What? You don't have enough water for your donkeys?
Right.
Wow. Bring them over to Griffith Park.
You should move here.
Yes. I just, anyone who comes over here from a third world nation, take them right to Griffith Park and go, yeah? You see? You see what we got going
here?
We
win.
And last but not least, I feel bad for the guy who got his penis put in the garbage disposal. Yeah.
Well, how could you not feel bad for that poor sucker?
Well, no, I don't feel so bad because of the penis part, and I should. I know I shouldn't. But
what part do you feel bad about then?
Well, I feel bad because if somebody, if you're like the victim of a drunk driver, like when somebody cuts your penis off and throws it in a garbage disposal, everyone goes, oh, what was he doing with that penis when he was awake?
Right.
You know, that must have been some son of a bitch. I'm sure he had that day. She just got tired of the abuse. She couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah.
She probably just flipped because, I mean, you know, any guy who gets his penis cut off can't be a good guy. I mean, that's not a nurturing guy. He's not doing friendly things with that penis. There's a reason she hates his penis. There must be something there. But what I'm saying is, like, if you just get T-boned by a drunk driver, nobody goes, well, I guess you had that coming.
Or you must have been a bad person.
Yeah, like, what happened? I got stabbed at an ATM. Okay, what'd you do? What'd you do?
Right.
What'd you do?
He's not already having a bad enough day. Now society is judging him for it.
Right. As soon as we're done fishing your penis out of the incinerator, we're going to have to ask why you're such a bad dude.
Fantastic. AdamCarolla.com is where you go for more with the Ace Man and his fine family of podcasts. Look for him on the road in Palm Springs, Las Vegas, Thousand Oaks, and more. And the car show tonight on the Speed Channel at 10. Adam, have a great week, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
Woo!
How these people get in my room?
Woo!
This is a breakfast with Incubus just about to happen.
Yes, minutes away, and we want to say hello to everybody watching that are Incubus fans around the world through KevinBean.com right
Hi.
Now. We're
Hi, you can
streaming.
See me wave? Hi.
Ralph, you're back at the station.
I'm waving. I'm right here.
Ralph, you're back at the station.
Oh, with Omar.
You weren't invited.
No camera here?
That's how small this location is, by the way, Ralph. Is that, I mean, we're in a dude's living room. Can I just tell you that's what's happening here? That's how small the place is. That's why we couldn't bring everybody
There's
on the
room for Ralph. We just didn't want him.
Time for
no,
the
room
showbiz
for my enormous
beat.
Penis. That's the problem.
Time for the showbiz beat now.
That's Here's the Ralph. Problem right there.
That is the problem.
It is showbiz news time, and I'm upset.
About what?
What happened?
About
it's
the,
not
Kardashians.
Pia again,
about
is
the
it?
Kardashians. The Kardashians.
All the Kardashians.
When the revolution comes, and it's coming, people, let's take them out first, shall we?
Isn't Kim going to be our new queen?
No. I want a sort of a French Revolution-style thing where we just storm the gates of their palace and then chop their heads off with a guillotine.
I'd like to storm the gates of her palace.
What makes you hate them today?
They're just making too much money for nothing.
Yeah.
They have unleashed their new line of nail polishes.
Yeah.
No exact date of when they'll be in stores, but definitely be in time for the holidays. About $8 a bottle. They've announced 14 different colors, and get this, each of them is named after a different Kardashian.
Oh, that's great.
For example, one of the colors is called Court is Ready for a Petty. That's their red.
Really?
Yeah.
They gotta be stopped. You're right.
Completely in Love is another color. Sealed with a Chris. See what they did?
Come on.
Can we put all of these in the file?
Let's put their entire line of nail polishes in the file.
Is the Court is Ready, is that one like a 5-gallon drum? Because she's fat, Ralph.
No, Chloe's the fat one. But excellent, excellent joke, Kevin. Really, you know what?
I would have sat here all day trying to figure that out.
Take that back to the lab, work on that one, and then let us know how it works.
I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, I'll try again tomorrow.
Over at Jersey Shore, more reality show news. MTV apparently isn't too pleased with the douchebags they have on their TV show. You know, they're leaving, they're coming back. Both Vinny and The Situation have quit and then returned to the show. So according to sources, MTV is now issuing a zero-tolerance policy regarding the cast threatening to leave. If you threaten to leave or you walk off the show, they said, now you will be fired and your contract will be terminated. They won't pay you.
Do they know who they're dealing with?
Apparently they don't.
Ralph, I hear a condescending tone in your voice. It's very exacting, demanding work that they are being asked to do.
You mean the drinking and the fist pounding?
Yes.
Yeah. Fist bumping or whatever.
Look at
the hell
all the ugly chicks they have to hook
ass
up.
Ass pounding
with.
Or whatever's going on in that room. I don't know. And good news for CSI fans. They lost Lawrence Fishburne, of course, this past season. He decided not to come back for another one. However, Ted Danson, formerly of Cheers, currently can be seen on Bored to Death with our buddy Jason Schwartzman. He is going to be the new leader of the CSI team for its 12th season on CBS this fall. So congratulations.
That's sort of shocking. I would have never guessed that.
But look, if you're going to bring in a big TV star,
yeah,
he still is beloved.
Do you still watch that show, Ralph?
I watch it from time to time. It's real good.
How was Lawrence Fishburne?
He was real good.
Seems like he would be really good. I'm so surprised. I mean, that seems like a prime gig to be on a star of CSI. I'm so surprised he would leave it so soon.
I think he wasn't used to the grueling pace of the shooting schedule. If you're shooting an hour-long drama, it can be really sort of overwhelming for a lot of people who are used to working in film, which is a much more relaxed pace. You shoot maybe a couple days of, you know, the script over the, excuse me, a couple pages of the script during a day. On an episodic show like that, you can shoot 4, 5, 6 pages, and it's a lot of work and it's long hours. So maybe.
Plus, it's a lot of work to carry around that giant head. He can only do that for like 4 hours a day.
Yes, it's exhausting.
It's tiring.
We were talking about
that's racist.
We're talking about Will Champion of Coldplay. It's his birthday today. He's 33 years old. Coldplay has announced they'll be performing on our buddy Jimmy Kimmel Live's show on ABC on August the 3rd. You can check that out. And, of course, they're headlining the 4th annual Samsung AT&T Summer Crush event, which will be at the Los Angeles Tenor Center on the UCLA campus. So you can check that out. A few songs from that set will be on Jimmy's show. Tickets for the concert go on sale Friday if you want to check out Coldplay. And while we're talking about concerts, there will be no fighting at Foo Fighters concerts. According to Dave Grohl, they were playing a gig in London on Monday night, and there was a fight going on down in the mosh pit in front of the stage, and
sure.
Dave waved over security and had the guy thrown out.
Wow.
He said on stage, people came to have a good time, not start any trouble, and he wouldn't tolerate it. Good for you, Dave.
He puts fighter in the name of the band and then won't let anyone fight.
You're supposed to fight foos, not each other.
Oh, that's what it is.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Patrick Stewart is 71 years old today. Actor Harrison Ford is 69.
I am. I'm really celebrating my birthday.
A can't what? Wow, he's really going off.
Blow out the candles.
I heard blow out the candles. That's
Cheech of Cheech and Chong is 65. Cameron Crowe is 54 years old today. Will Champion, as we mentioned, of Coldplay, the drummer for that band, is 33. And Ken Jeong,
hey!
One of our favorite funny people in the world, celebrates his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Morning, sunshine. Want to start your day with a nice bowl of
Kevin and Bean. Breakfast with Incubus.
Well, heck yeah, why not?
Check this out. Tiny little place. The band right in front of you is Incubus. You can listen to it on the radio, of course. You can also watch it on the website. The guys are here. Tiny little place. Audience is here. I believe we're going to start with a song with Incubus. Live music now on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's right.
Specify. I'm beginning to notice how my
Incubus live on the Kevin Avine Show.
This is a fairly ridiculous time of day for a rock band to be sounding that good, but well done. Welcome, you guys. How are you? Welcome back to the Kevin Avine Show. Great to see you.
Nice to see you, too. Good morning.
Thank you. Let's set the scene for folks who are listening to us or watching us around the world through kevinavine.com. We are in a super secret location, which many Incubus fans may be aware of because you guys have essentially lived in this room for the past 10 days or so.
That's right.
This is a unique style of promotion for a new record. Tell me how it came about and tell folks what you've been doing here.
Well, this is Brandon, by the way. Hi, everybody. This is basically this is an art gallery that we borrowed, converted it into a pop-up store in the front and a rehearsal space in the main part of it. And we wanted to do a series of webcasts where we could showcase a bunch of the new music, let people listen to the record, draw on the walls, do things you do in an art gallery, you know, sip wine, wear black turtlenecks. What do you do at an art gallery?
Well, they don't let you draw on the walls, I'll tell you that.
Right.
That's not normal. So almost every night you've come down here and essentially done a show that your fans could watch from wherever they were.
Yes, we've basically done, we did about, 10 shows in total? Yeah.
We did six.
Six of them we broadcast on the web.
And then we did a few others.
So yeah. Is this your rehearsal for the tour? Is that basically what this is? Is this let's play through it live and let's just do it with people watching?
Yeah, kind of. Which is, we were breaking, very much breaking, like, rule number one for this band. It's been that rule for a very long time. That
which is let people see us suck sometimes.
Yes. We've been essentially rehearsing in public and, like, live to the web. And so all of those mistakes and all those funny moments and are literally, like, live. But right. I think it's good for us.
Is it?
Somehow, some way.
It's yeah. Right. You're going to talk yourself into that?
That's what we hear anyway.
Is it possible that you're just homeless and you just needed this place, the space?
You know what? This place has got a pretty nice bathroom.
That's what I thought.
It is kind of sweet. Now, did the idea come about because, hey, it's 2011 now. There's a lot to cut through to get the message out that we're back. We've been dormant for a little bit. How can we really make a splash promotionally?
Partly. You know, there's... I think the main idea is just to let people know that, you know, we have a record coming out. And that gets harder and harder to do literally every day that goes on that the internet exists because we're competing with, like, Rebecca Black. And,
you know. You're not competing with Rebecca Black, just for the record.
Like, attention. Yeah. It's like, oh, I really like this band Incubus, but look how cute this kitty is.
You wish you could write a song as good as Friday, am I right?
Yeah, we're working on it.
Two rabbits, two cups.
Oh, that brought us something there, right? Well done.
It's sweet. Cute.
What are you talking about? It's cute.
This is a it's a huge week, obviously, for Incubus. The new record came out yesterday, available for sale and for download. If not now, when?
I wonder how many of these people have it.
I bet 100%. I suspect 100%. Who's heard the album the most times, you think, of this group here? Has anyone heard it like 20 times already?
This girl over here, how many times?
Everybody's pointing to one person wearing a Let It Be shirt.
How many times have you heard the album?
How many times?
How many times?
It's on a, ever since the second she got it, it sounds like it's been on a loop.
What's your name? Erica. Where are you from? Erica from Redlands has listened to it.
She's the winner.
I see a love connection happening.
We can actually say too, now that the record's like officially quote unquote out, that it leaked like 2 months ago.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so most of our friends and family have heard it like, you know, 50 times
Let me ask you about the album, because a lot of bands like to do a project where you kind of picture people starting at the beginning and going to the end. Is that what you guys do? Because normally I usually listen to an album, I find a song I like, and I listen to that song 1 million times in a row, and then I move on.
We approach it as like a movie.
You would like people to start at the beginning and go all the way to the end.
Absolutely.
But you don't.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you got to live by example, buddy.
That's right. I do it like Mike.
I walk the walk, but I don't talk the talk.
That's right.
Well, we obviously have so many questions because this is a landmark album in the career of Incubus. Different from anything you've done. I think you think that's fair to say, probably. And we want to find out why and how and what you think. And we're going to have plenty of our own questions. We have questions from Facebook, from the Kevin and Bean page, also from KevinandBean.com. You guys have a few questions for the band, I suspect, right?
Sure.
So we'll take care of all of that and, of course, live music from the band as well. It's our Breakfast with Incubus. We'll be right back.
You don't ask your parents for permission to rock.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Incubus.
Wow. Brought to you by Crazy Stupid Love. When it comes to love, we're all crazy. In theaters July 29th. That's with, Julianne Moore, who I love so much, and Steve Carell. All right, we're going to go to our listener questions here for the band Incubus. Of course, the new album out this week, If Not Now, When. We'll talk about that in a great detail. Plus, we'll talk about the tour. Kevin, you wanted to get us started this time.
I did. You guys just did Nice to Know You, and I'm sure that's one of the songs that you have to do, or there's a riot. Is that true?
Not necessarily.
I mean, almost.
Fortunately, we have this wonderful problem where there are a couple of those songs now where it's like if we don't, people get angry.
Right.
So thanks for getting angry.
Have you ever tried to change it up some, and does that go over well, or do people really want to hear the song the way it is? Because I'm sure if you sing it 200 times, by the 200th time, maybe you want to change something.
In all honesty, we can't do anything right.
Is that right? No matter how you play it?
No matter what we do, people get pissed.
Do you change it sometimes? Do you change it a lot sometimes?
We do, actually. Sometimes we'll like vamp out the beginning, and sometimes Ben and Jose get a little loose in there. And you know, it's like subtleties. We try and find subtle ways to keep the songs we
you
play.
You bring in a ukulele, anything like that?
Yeah, a little ukulele, a little bit of sitar.
Sitar, nice.
To that point, is there ever a time, especially when you're on a long tour, where you feel like you're doing a song on autopilot, or are you always in the moment and responding to the other musicians on stage?
Well, you know, it's...
Truth.
Honestly, there's not a straight answer to that question. I'm going to play politician really quick. And what we really have to do is raise the debt ceiling, my friends. I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, there's like... Once again, it's a balance you got to strike. Like... we actually hope to get to an automatic place with a lot of the songs, because with playing music, it's like you're kind of hoping to get to a place where you're not even thinking about what your hands are doing, about what your voice is doing, because when you're thinking about it, that's when you start messing up.
You're not in the moment as much.
So when you're actually on automatic, it's like you can be somewhere else and channeling other things.
Mike, that's when you mess up, is when you start?
That's all the time, but... I just have too much to look at. I've got all this stuff around me, and I sometimes just look down at all these fun toys that I have to play with.
And you go, hey, something shiny.
And I go, yeah. And I'm just like, what is the secret nature of human existence? and then I ponder that thought until I go, oh, wow, I just messed up.
And then put a strobe light under him, and then that's...
There you go.
That's the way to make
Japanese seizure cartoon. Here's something that Incubus fans know about Mike, is he's too smart to be in a rock band. Oh, there's no question about that.
I mean, I said, hey, something shiny. He said, what's the existence of man?
Exactly, right.
So that's the difference. If not now, when? Brandon, you wrote a beautiful, eloquent piece on your website about the new record that really,
I
did read it.
Oh, thanks, man.
Because, and it just, it answered the question so much better than you'll be possibly able to answer it here in front of us live without, you know, word processing. But how do you describe to people how this record is so different from other Incubus records? What's the way that you choose to describe it?
Well, if you go to our website, I wrote this.
Beautiful, eloquent piece.
Read the piece?
Eloquent piece. No, no. You know, this is how it feels coming from, like, my point of view, which obviously is, it's like trying to see the nose on my face. It's a little too close, but it feels like it is a point where we have come actually like full circle as musicians, as a band, as friends. Like, we've come a really, really long way. We've been a band for 20 years this year.
20 years this year, by the way. How about that?
That's impressive.
And so the whole time, you know, we've been, it's like it's constantly in process. We're a band that's constantly in process. We're trying a little bit of everything in order to see what sounds good, and we really are trying not to place sort of creative limitations on ourselves.
Is it scary? Are you afraid, like, if you change things a little bit too much, maybe you're going to lose some of your older fans?
Yeah, absolutely. That's absolutely scary, but that's, funnily enough, what we've come to is that when we come to these places as a band where we're looking at each other like, can we do this? Can Incubus do this? That's usually the winning equation for us.
Right.
Is when we push it like that. So,
what's it like for you, Mike, having so, to my ears, and I'm a, you know, a layperson here, but it seems like so much less guitar, or maybe not as flashy guitar parts on these songs. Is that great for you? Because it's something different?
Was that a band vote? Did everybody go, let's have a little less
of Mike?
A little
less Mike, just, maybe.
It's for me, it's just being able to pay attention to subtleties that I would have not really paid attention to in the past, or wouldn't have been excited by, or whatever. I purposefully kind of toned my playing down in order to kind of try and create space in the arrangements of the songs to, you know, give them more room to breathe. I have a nasty habit of trying to fill everything up with as much sound or noise or whatever as possible.
You're a guitarist. And that's your job.
Yeah, sort of.
For the most
kind
part.
Kind of.
Explore the space.
But I wanted to explore the space similarly to how Christopher Walken explored the space with the cowbell.
Well, let's hear a new song. You want to play Thieves? And is there anything you want to tell us about this? Set it up before we play, or why is your drummer taking pictures of us?
That's to keep you guys honest.
What's happening here?
I have not no setup. For this.
No setup. All right. A new song from Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Soft in the womb, a slap upon a back that's been toiling in the sun. When will I get by? Must I be a God-fearing white American? Everything is fine as long as you're a God-fearing white American. Why should that be sad? All the fun selling us water by the river, they don't speak for everyone. I'm ready to run. You're the man about the town, the beauty queen, the paragon of civilization. The shadows cling to his arm, even though it's gone.
the third shelter down to me. When will I get mine? Must I be a God-fearing white American? Yeah. Why should the thieves have all of the fun? Selling us water by the river, let it speak for everyone. Ready to run and you're making me cold. Selling me water by the river, they don't speak for me.
Live fade.
They faded the song out.
How great is that?
You thought you were going deaf. That was actually the band fading it out.
A live fade. I love that so much.
The California fade.
You don't see that very often.
Breakfast with Incubus. We will continue on the Kevin and Bean Show next.
To say.
Thought that this was you somehow, Brandon, on the album cover?
He also thought it's called
If Not When. Right. He got the album title wrong, and then I said, I think was wrong about the cover as well, right?
He also played my guitar solo wrong for me, too.
Really? Wow, that's rude of him.
Is this the World Trade Center Walker guy? Is that who this is?
That's Philippe Petit.
That's who I thought it was, yeah. Now, what's involved in getting a guy like this on an album cover? I mean, do you have to call him up and go, hey, what up?
I called him. I said, hey, Philippe, what's up, buddy? Come down off that wire. Talk to me for a minute.
Brandon, so good to hear from you.
What does the artwork, and I know you're a very, very visually oriented guy, what's the artwork have to do with whatever the big picture is of If Not Now When?
You know, that's kind of one of those things that probably will mean something a little bit different to everybody that looks at it. Mm-hmm. But can I be so bold as to say, like, to us?
Sure.
I think it's perhaps representative of, like, somebody doing something unique and remarkable and kind of once in a lifetime situation.
And a little dangerous or no?
Perhaps a little bit dangerous, but also sort of like beautiful and simple and that kind of idea. So it really kind of, we saw the image and it really encompassed the way that we felt about the whole of this record.
Does everybody else just go with your vision because you're artistic and they just go, look, it's Brandon, he likes it, let's just go with
it. He has long hair, let's just do it.
he must know what he's talking about.
All right, we have a crazy fan that would like to ask you a question.
Oh, is this Amy with an eye? Because I'm already frightened.
We talked to Amy with an eye yesterday as one of the biggest Incubus fans. We want her to tell you, first of all, why she's one of your biggest fans.
This is Amy from South El Monte.
Well, apparently I'm crazy because I was here a whole bunch of times last week and the week before.
Cool. And why else are you crazy? What else did you tell us yesterday?
I didn't sleep over here. I just was here at like 3 in the morning to see you guys when you guys were here at 5 in the morning for your interview.
That's normal.
Yeah.
That's normal.
How many Incubus shows have you seen, Amy?
My question is...
How many Incubus shows have you seen, Amy?
Actually, the first big concert that I'm going to go to is at the Hollywood Bowl.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
But I saw you guys twice here at the HQ.
Oh, only awesome. Twice. Okay. Well, we had a different Amy who was a crazy one who'd seen you 25 times then.
Sweet.
All right. What's your question?
That's her. That's crazy Amy
That's
over there.
Crazy Amy over there.
I didn't know we had two crazy Amys. All right. You have a question?
You're picking on her.
Wait.
Her.
But not her.
Your parents named you crazy?
No.
That's our name for her. So.
All right. What's your question?
All right. You have a question, Amy.
See if you can get her to read that, Alex.
Yeah, go Okay, so being crazy. What is your craziest or scariest crazy fan moment? Because I know a lot of people have probably been crazy. So,
or scary, or
scary,
threatening,
awkward,
life-threatening, or
mine, or like, I mean, anybody chime in. I
remember you guys told me the story about the air duct creeper.
I think we actually told that on the air.
Let's hear it again, because the air duct creeper I saw last night at the Troop. They're good.
Sounds like a new Dexter villain,
doesn't it? Yeah, or like some cool indie band. tell it. Go ahead, Ben.
Tell it. That's it.
Well, my memory is about as good as nothing. So,
can we get Ben's mic on the air?
Hello, yeah. Hello.
There we go. Okay,
hello,
go ahead.
America. My memory is not that awesome, but these guys have told me before I was in the band. Like, you know,
oh, this was before you.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, yeah. I was like 50 years ago.
So it doesn't exist, actually.
Let's have the guy that wasn't in the band when it happened tell us the story.
Actually, so he can embellish it better. From my perspective, no. they were playing a show, I guess, somewhere down under, I think. And they were in the dressing room after the show. And it was like, oh, good show, you know. And they hear rumbling and booming and scraping and screaming. And all of a sudden... I believe it was in the hallway outside of the dressing room, right?
No, it was actually in the dressing room.
In the dressing room? Well, a fan, a determined fan, mind you.
I guess so.
Made his way through the heating and cooling system.
Made his way, did you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, a dude fan.
What? Like,
he went in, he just
he was
just
a big guy, too.
Happen.
He was a big guy?
He wasn't small.
So he barely fit through the duct?
So he pops out all greasy and covered in air particles from the past 1,000 years of the club.
Sweet.
And Lance is like, I just had to meet you guys.
Like, and he was drunk.
He was properly like...
Wait a minute. You're saying the guy in the duct was drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was drunk. It sounded like a bunch of clanking pots and pans and all this stuff. And then next thing we know, this guy just kind of emerges from the wall. And he was very like sweet and cautious. We were like, did you just climb through the air conditioner? And he goes, I did. He started crying.
It was so cute. It was so beautiful, actually. Like, a couple of tears went through and, like, smeared through the soot on his face.
Sweet.
And, like, we were like, oh, dude, come here.
Yeah, but that guy, you have to give everything he wants, right?
No, we did.
Oh,
yeah.
So we gave him a, what did we give him, like, a hip-hip hooray?
We gave him 3 cheers. We said, hip-hip, hooray, hip-hip, hooray.
Well, maybe that's not everything he wanted, but all right.
And then we signed his stuff and sent him on his way.
All right.
And he was bloody too. Actually, he'd been all cut up.
Oh. Yeah. Other bands
so
would
we don't
have
recommend
called,
that.
They would have called security. Other groups would have. So that was. Very
I mean,
reasonable.
It was. We just figured he worked that hard to get there.
Yeah.
But we don't recommend anybody try that.
Yeah.
Incubus might not end up so here long. On the Kevin and Bean Show. They have been warming up at Incubus HQ for the last week or so, and they're getting ready to take it to the road. The 15th, Santa Barbara Bowl, then San Diego. You got Phoenix, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, San Francisco. How long a tour are you guys going to go out on to support, if not now, when?
For the
30,
rest of
40
time.
Years.
For the rest of time?
Something like that.
What does it feel like just before you go out on a long tour like this? Does it seem like it might as well be 5 years as one? I mean, does it seem like it's going to be forever?
It's like a long, yeah, it's a long goodbye.
Yeah.
Bye, Mom. Say goodbye to the dog.
I might see you again.
Right.
Depending on how the album goes.
Exactly. Yeah, that's really the truth. If things are going well, you stay out longer. So.
Right.
All right. It's Breakfast with Incubus. We got plenty more questions from you and from us. We're so happy to be here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's time for some more live music. I think you're going to play Promises, Promises, which is the new song. I know better than to ask Brandon to set it up for us, so let's just enjoy it. It's some live Incubus for you here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
So yes, this is a song called Promises, Promises. I'm setting it up all right now.
I'm only 23, 4, not around in the day. I'm a fan of yours and I need a good mistake. I'm not a sinner. Of hand. I do magic tricks.
Incubus. It is Breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will continue in just a minute.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's beginning to look a lot like breakfast.
Breakfast with Incubus.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Super secret location, Breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show, broadcasting live around the world through kevinandbean.com, thanks to Ustream. Great to be here with the band. Now, that was fascinating. Brandon, you were off answering fan mail or something, and the guys just started grooving. Mike started laying down a guitar. Next thing you know, you got a little bass in there. I felt like I was watching you guys write a song. I mean, do you sometimes just sit in a room and just start playing and see what comes out?
I feel like that song might have some legs.
that was an old classic.
For a minute there, it felt like a Grateful Dead concert was breaking out. I didn't know what was happening.
You just never know when that's going to happen.
You never know. Anyway, Incubus is here. We are doing Breakfast with the Band, of course. They'll be playing live again in a moment. Producer Alex is in the crowd. I don't know if you guys had a chance to say hello to her today.
Hi, guys.
Alex, you have actual real-life Incubus questions in person and also from some of the internet, right?
I do, yeah, from the internet. This is from kevinandbean.com from listener Lorena M. She asks, in the songs Pardon Me and Promises, Promises, you have a reference to being 23 years old. Is there a significance to that age for you?
He can't wait to be 23.
Yeah. I could just go back to 92. Bet I could throw that football over those hills over there. What movie is that from?
That's Napoleon.
Napoleon Dynamite.
He goes back to 82, though. When we wrote Pardon Me, I had just turned 23. There was that. And so I guess perhaps when I sort of reinvoked that age in this newer song, I was remembering back to a time when it was sort of innocent and chaotic at the same time. And also, the number 23 has always gotten me. It's one of those numbers. They wrote a movie about it with Jim Carrey in it.
Yes.
Number 23.
Oh, yeah.
It
was right. What? You're fascinated by the number, really?
I always have been for some reason, yeah. It's one of those numbers.
Is that the only one?
No, there's a couple.
What else?
Oh, yeah. Jordan. He's number 23.
Sure. Michael Jordan. Sure.
It's a lot of stuff. It's a chaos number. I like chaos numbers. Number five. Also another
five
one.
Is a chaos number.
Is it good luck? Good luck, bad luck?
No, not necessarily, no. that's a chaos number. So it's this is something we should probably talk about at a different time.
we should smoke some weed and talk about it.
This is Brandon is crazy is what this is.
That's what I write the number all over the walls.
That's what we've gotten into.
Do you feel 35 years old, Brandon?
Yes.
Right, you do.
Right now, yes.
I just wondered if you're just like every other guy, you go, oh, when I was 23, I still had my looks. You know, I still had some potential.
Oh, please.
You know. I just wondered if you're as insecure as the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm terribly insecure. I don't even know who I am. Where am I right now?
Yeah. All right, Alex, next question, please.
Yes, I have our friend Joe from Covina.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
What's going on, Chris? Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just wondering, I mean, I've known you guys play everywhere and stuff, and throughout this tour, is there any, like, venue in particular that you're looking forward to play at?
We're starting at Red Rocks in Colorado on the U.S. leg of the tour, which starts in the middle of August. That's a pretty phantasmagorical concert venue. It's amazing. It's like, you know, it's an amphitheater, a natural amphitheater. It's carved into the side of a mountain, and it's just like, you know.
It's just like the moon.
Yeah. And it gives you something to look at when you're on stage. You stand there and go, wow, I can't believe how beautiful this place is, right?
It really, I mean, it makes the experience of playing a concert a whole different sort of animal.
On the opposite side, is there a venue that sucks so much that you won't go there anymore?
Lots.
Lots.
We've played some, you know, kind of like crack house sort of venues, like underneath the freeway overpass.
You try to stay away from crack houses.
There's a place that we played in Boise, Idaho. I can't remember the name of it.
Didn't have a name.
That literally was a crack house underneath a freeway overpass.
Wow.
We were just praying that the stage would hold long enough to, like...
How many people were there?
There was like 300-400 kids smashed in there. It was an awesome show, but the place was literally like a tetanus shot waiting to happen.
Sweet.
The stage was built out of plywood and 2x4s. And
one nail.
I actually think that place was called the Roach Motel.
All right.
Anybody remember? Anybody?
Sweet. So you're not going back there is what you're saying.
I mean,
probably. Once enough.
You might.
Eventually.
Before we hear another song from the new record from Incubus here, Breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Beach Show, I think we're going to hear the original coming up next. How will the set change with these new songs available to you? I imagine the tempo, the dynamics, the way you've structured it in the past, is you're going to have to kind of revisit that and do something different.
A little bit. You know what? We've always had this this thing, this good dilemma that's taken place with our band. When we write a new record, it's like, okay, the sets are going to get harder to write now. But I think something has changed with this album. I think just because the vibe and the tempo of the record is so much different, like it's added to the set a lot. Like it's become
it makes it more variable.
Fun. Yeah, there's more peaks and valleys now. Correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, but like the sets have been like more fun to play recently because it really kind of like goes. On a deeper
but you're
journey.
Still doing Eat It and Fat though, right? Those
absolutely.
Are weird. Okay, because you can never drop those.
Never drop those.
I asked him if they do Brick House a minute ago. He said he'd try and learn it. But
all right, minutes, yeah.
Brick.
Let's hear the original now. This is again from the terrific new Incubus album, available in stores and for download now, called If Not Now, When? Incubus. Brick.
Close and you to rose my mind.
Music from Incubus. We are doing Breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll continue in just a minute. It is the world famous K-Rock at 6 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Let's get ready for breakfast!
The Kevin and Bean Show, having breakfast with Incubus.
Well, lots of people are yelling, and there's dramatic loud music, so it must be something important. It's Breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show, brought to you by Crazy Stupid Love. When it comes to love, we're all crazy, in theaters July 29th with Steve Carell and Julie and more. The band is here. They're playing live, answering our questions, answering your questions.
Can I start with a question for Jose?
Yes.
Jose, do you have a microphone? You have a mic, yes?
I do.
Yeah. You pretty much have the drums covered, right? You're a good drummer. You got them covered.
I think so.
You can handle it all, right?
I think.
What's Brandon doing?
Why is he assisting on drums?
He's covering me when I don't have him covered.
He's got a drum out there, and he's just in case you're going to miss something, he's ready to go, or
yeah.
What?
He's got me covered when I don't have it covered,
he's being so generous right
but
now.
But you have it covered.
It does seem like he's getting into your business a little bit.
That's what I'm
saying.
Stepping on me a little bit?
A little.
No, don't say it like that.
I'm just saying he can handle it.
Trying to ruin the dream, man.
Okay, how often does Jose jump up from behind the kit, run, and steal the microphone from you and start singing? How often does that happen?
Surprised.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right, guys.
Yeah.
No, here's the
truth. Give me that back.
Jose, is this not the truth? Everybody in our band actually wants to be the drummer.
Yeah. Very true.
But you're the only one who actually steps on him.
Fingers, all right. So I can play some drums with
them. They actually all have acquired little drum kits as about 3 weeks ago. They all have them in.
They all want to be you.
They're not here now, but you should have seen the last week and a half. Yeah. Everyone was drumming.
Wow. I don't know if that's a compliment or if they're trying to slowly ease you out of the band.
Do you try and guitar? Do you try and sing?
Yeah. No.
No, okay.
They pay me to stay back.
You know
here,
why? So. You do drums, and you do it well.
Before we go back to listener questions with producer Alex, I wanted to ask you guys, it seems to me, and again, I'm, you know, high, but it seems like Chris is playing a lot more keyboards lately. Is that a fact? Less DJing, yes. More keyboards? Is that what's happening? And that, again, that goes back to giving you a little bit more to draw from on the live set, a little more texture to work with on the show.
He doesn't get a mic, though. We know that.
He's got
a mic. He just chooses not to use it.
Oh, I see. He's not using it.
I speak with my hands.
All right. Good enough.
Have you always played keyboards, or is this something that you've learned over the last few years?
I kind of had first grade piano lessons, but that's about it.
Okay.
And
me too. I'm not an Incubus.
Yeah, you know.
Big difference.
I kind of dedicated the last, 2-3 years to it.
All I think it's nice. So. I think it's cool.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, Producer Alex, you're next. What you got?
This is from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page from Evo Reaper. So take that for what it's worth.
Evil?
No, Evo All right, Reaper. Good. What is the key to staying together this long? 20 years. What's your secret?
Good sex.
Water the garden.
Whoa. Let's go back to good sex.
I mean, look, the Beatles could only stay together 8. You guys are at 20 right now. That is a testament to something. I don't know what.
Is it taking time off? Is that part of the key, or is it...
We've never actually taken time off until this last hiatus. We've been kind of like at it for a really, really long time.
You have knockdown, drag-out fights?
No.
Not really?
No. We'll get like kind of salty at each other every once in a while, but then it's hugs like an hour later, and I'm sorry, dude. Let's go play some music.
Because at times, Bean and I will be screaming at each other, and then the song fades, and we go on the air, and we just act all like it's all good.
That works for a while.
Do you know?
You guys have been together a long time too, though. Right?
Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
Well, but we don't live together, so that helps.
You
know? It's a restraining order thing.
I mean, I guess you got to work on it like you would any other relationship. You have to, you know, understand everybody's got families, everybody's got other interests, everybody's got things. But musically, that's the part that's always fascinating to Kevin and me is what must it be like? I mean, you know, you come in, Mike, with a guitar part that you love, and nobody's feeling it. I mean, how do you?
It happens. You know, you just gotta. You just have to be, you know, you just have to be prepared for that. But, you know, I think that we all have enough confidence in the process to know that at the end of it, we're going to have something that we're proud of and that we're excited to play. I think that's just that sort of, we've got like a compass that we just follow.
Is there a voting system? Do you ever get to a point where you just go, all right, everybody has to vote because, and then it's 3-2.
And that happens sometimes too.
Yeah.
What was it like? I'd be curious to know what it was like for you guys when Brandon came out with a solo album. Was that something that caused any kind of friction, or was it something like, hey, that's cool?
No, it actually had it kind of had an opposite effect. It actually, like, right after that happened, we were all like, all right, let's make another album. Kind of happened like...
Because... I want to understand this clearly.
Right after another.
I want to understand this clearly because it wasn't good, or
no,
what,
no,
what
no,
was
no.
your...
I think that I...
I'm just trying to understand you.
This is Mike. This is Mike.
I'm not putting words in your mouth.
No. It's all good. That's why we're filming you.
Okay, good.
It's all good. That's actually one of the reasons why we did all this, because we like to keep everybody honest.
Right.
So, anyway.
You felt bad for Brandon?
No. Okay. Not at all. We've been in a band for 20 years.
Yes.
At that point, it had been, like 19 or something?
Right.
And, you know, each one of us has kind of gone off and done other things at certain points. And I think that being in a band, it's only natural that you would want to make music on your own at some point.
Right.
And so, you know, Brandon had a bunch of music that he had written that he wanted to record. And
you're like Godspeed.
And release. And, yeah, I mean, it's like, who wouldn't want to, you know.
Were those songs in your head?
Brandon's always writing stuff. And it's like... You know, it's natural to want to let that out. And
sure.
It's kind of a cleansing process as well to like write all this music and then kind of let it go and then move forward from it, you know?
Did you think those songs were not right for Incubus, Brandon?
Not necessarily, no. I just knew that us taking time off of Incubus was important. But I knew that, you know, like none of us ever really stopped writing music. We just kind of took a break from writing music together and like going on tour and, you know, doing that whole thing, which is amazing and fun, and we're so fortunate to be in that circumstance. But it definitely is it's draining. It can definitely like kind of eat away at your soul at a certain part of the process. So but the love of creating music never ever goes away. That's the reward. That's really the ultimate
reward. Is it really amazing now to think about going out and playing these new songs? Now that you have a new album that's out? And
we're really excited. We're like kind of re-energized. And we actually, the last night of our HQ project here, where we broadcast to the web, we played the new record from top to bottom, and it was actually really fun.
I bet.
So,
all right, one more question, and then no more live music. Incubus here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's up, Alex?
We have the lovely Erica from Redlands.
Hi, Erica.
Hello. This question is for the whole band. If you guys were in the music profession like you are now, what other type of career would you have chosen?
If they didn't make it in music, what would they be doing instead?
All right, from all of you.
Oh, interesting.
Mike?
I'd probably just spend the rest of my life in school.
Yeah.
I believe he's telling the truth.
He is, yeah.
How many PhDs could you get in your lifetime, Mike?
I'm not even joking. The quality of life of a student, and it's never appreciated by the students really themselves.
Right.
you know, we went on tour right after we finished high school, and you know, that was the greatest experience ever. So we, you know, we did what we wanted to do. I understand that people who, you know, just go straight through, they finish their high school and then they get into college, and it's kind of like, wow, enough school, you know. But we're 35 years old, and you know, going to school at 35 is a whole different experience. And
I would go to classes if I went to school at 35. When I was in college, I didn't go to any classes.
I did. I went to all my classes.
You did.
All right, you're better than we are.
We get it.
No. It has nothing to do with that. It's just it's a really great quality of life to just be learning like that, to pick subjects that you really love. And Brandon and I were just talking about this in a car the other day when we were in New York driving around. We're talking about how great it is to actually be able to dig really deep into something and not just have like a surface level knowledge of something, to really spend time digging in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think there's something so huge to be said for doing that.
I'm glad I don't have to follow you about what I'd be doing if I wasn't in the band, but the rest of you.
Wait, what would you be doing?
I'd be in jail.
Okay.
All right, you.
My turn?
Yeah.
I think I would be a professional spelunker.
Okay, spelunker. Oh.
And that, ladies, that is a sex move, in case you're curious.
I'd be like pro at it.
A sex move?
A highly paid spelunker.
Ben?
I'd probably sell drugs out of my mom's basement.
Good.
Okay, well, it's good that you have ambition.
Good, Chris?
It's nice.
What do you think you'd be doing?
I think I might be helping Ben out.
And Jose.
Jose, you're last.
You're last.
And you're going to be looking for work soon, from what I understand. So what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be racing motorcycles.
Okay. Nice.
All right.
Nice.
Just for fun.
That's good.
Careful. All right. Breakfast with Incubus here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think we're going back in the catalog a little bit for this next one. Am I right, boys?
Sure.
A little song maybe called Love Hurts here on Breakfast with Incubus.
Without love, I won't survive.
Music from Incubus. We are doing Breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be right back.
Morning, sunshine. Want to start your day with a nice bowl of
Kevin and Bean Breakfast with Incubus?
Well, heck yeah, why not?
Why not indeed? If not now, when? Breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show, celebrating their 20th anniversary as a band. Getting ready to start a big old tour. Got a new record in stores and available for download right now. We're hearing some live music.
I'd like to ask Brandon one question, and that is, first of all, thank you guys for getting up and doing this, because we know it's the opposite of the schedule of your normal band. And second of all, I read in an interview that you said self-promotion is like getting kicked in the balls. I hope that doesn't feel...
I must have.
I hope
I think that
doesn't...
about our record getting leaked.
Oh, okay. I hope that doesn't feel like that today. I hope
No.
Okay, good.
Right. Not at all. Actually, I remember the kicked in the balls comment.
Okay,
it
good.
Yeah.
I wasn't making it up, just so everyone knows. Okay, anyway.
Your fans, by the way, I know you've talked about this a little bit before, but I mean, it's crazy how much they're into you, first of all, and how much you seem to be inspired by and respond well to them. Your band seems to be one, I'm not trying to be all woo-woo about it, your band seems to be one that has kind of broken down the barrier. We're on this side of the stage and we're the entertainer, you're on that side of the stage, you're the audience. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. Actually, that's interesting that you used that
woo-woo
image. No, that image of like we're on this side and you're over there. There's something to be said for like, you know, the lights and the sound and that barrier. It has a purpose of sorts, you know,
sure.
It creates an illusion, but there's also something about being able to have a just sort of, I don't know, it's like an interaction, it's a conversation that's going on. Like, we wouldn't exist without you guys. And that is kind of an amazing thing. Like, when you really understand it, it's kind of humbling in a way. You know, like, we are here because you listen to our band. Mm-hmm. So I can't even, like, I never resonated with the term, like, fans even. Because it, you know, it stems from the word fanatic. Mm-hmm. And it has, like, this thing.
Oh, you've got fanatics.
True.
But for the record.
I prefer to, like, these are, you know, you guys are people that listen to our band. So I like to call you guys listeners. Like, you're listening.
Can we change your mind and introduce you to somebody right now, Brandon?
Sure. Let's go for it.
Producer Alex, who are you standing with, please?
I'm standing with our friend Mary Grace, who we met this week on the phones. She won tickets to the breakfast. She has two children, who she named after Incubus songs.
Oh, yeah.
We have Madison Stellar. And then Mason Brandon. It was going to be Mason Brandon Boyd on his birth certificate, but her husband nixed it.
Yeah. And Brandon nixed it too, by the way.
Oh, man.
I'm so serious. It almost made it, and then he happened to glance, and he's like...
Wait, you were going to trick him?
He looked...
You were going to fool him on the birth certificate?
Yes.
Honey, cut the cord. Oh, what's this?
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Sweet.
And he wouldn't let me name him my Mason Einziger or Mason Kilmore.
Wow.
Because he's like, really, a Filipino kid walking around with the name Mason Einziger?
But if he knew what Einziger meant.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what, do you know what my last name means?
What does it mean?
Go for it.
It means the only one in German.
Oh, sweet. Oh,
you nice. See?
Sweet.
Hey. Oh, yeah, now she's yelling at her husband.
He's here. Where are you?
He's right there.
Yeah, but you know what?
That was a good call, though.
That's
man,
cool.
I gotta say.
Yeah, good on you, man.
I was just surprised she had a husband.
I was, too.
To be honest.
I was, too. Hey, Mary, can you hear me okay?
You're a good guy.
Were there any other Incubus-related names that you thought about before you came up with Stellar and Brandon, like other songs or anything?
I will have a third child, and if it's a girl...
Megalomaniac?
Just pardon me?
Anna Molly.
You're going to name a kid Anna
don't
Molly.
Name, no, please don't do that.
Bella.
Unless she's just going to go by Molly.
Bella.
Just
Bella.
Don't, please, if anyone's listening out there and thinking about it, don't ever name your kid Incubus.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah,
they have
not.
A hard time in school. They're protesting us in the Philippines right now, like, for the band name.
Sweet.
Really? Like
still?
Of, really?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, wow. They've like.
Yeah, it's all in the news.
It's
what's
in the
wrong
news
with them?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you? You tell us.
It's a larger...
It's a small group of people. All it takes is one kind of, you know,
one guy to be like, hey.
Ain't that the truth. Mary, did you have a question for your beloved, or did you just want to get up here and brag?
Somebody actually took my question, and that
good.
Was
okay. Well, don't worry about it then. You don't have to. You don't have to.
I just want to thank you guys, though, for doing the HQ Live. As a fan, you don't know how much it means to all of us to be one on one with the favorite band that writes
very nice.
Beautiful music.
Thank you.
I'd also like to say this. I'd also like to say I know that you guys need to take time off, but for us, it's torturous. So. Make it as quick as possible. Go do your artwork or whatever you got to do. Do your soul. But then get back together and make new music because it drives us all crazy. All right. Now, Adolescence is the next song you're going to do. The first thing you should do is fire your cameraman for the video. That guy could not keep any of you in focus. I don't know what the deal was.
He was drunk.
Was he new? Drunk?
Yeah, both.
There's no one in focus in the entire video. But this is Adolescence, and it's Incubus, and it's our breakfast with Incubus on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Live music from Incubus. It is our breakfast with Incubus, and we will continue on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You don't ask your parents for permission to rock.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Incubus.
All right, easy.
It's our latest breakfast with. Always happy to have Incubus with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In our final moments, broadcasting from Incubus HQ. Hey, guys, what happens to this space now that you're done with it? This is the last official duty, I guess, that Incubus HQ has. What, for instance, what happens to all the Incubus-related artwork that's on the walls?
I know these fans want to know.
I have no idea, actually. Yeah,
tell them.
Are we going to burn this mother down? Is that what happens at the end of the broadcast?
This place has to be burned and sterilized.
Oh, is that right?
Okay.
Just take it right to the ground. Wow.
Well, unbelievably evil things have happened when the webcams weren't on that we can't describe. I gotcha. Yes.
I would like the crowd to acknowledge that this band is not normally up at this time of the day playing music. And it's great that they did it for you guys. And they do it so well, we would have them again tomorrow. Seriously, can you do it tomorrow?
I think we're going to be in, like, Austria tomorrow or something.
Uh-huh. All right, final questions. Producer Alex is in the crowd. What do you have for us, my dear?
I have Stacia from Norco. She's a high school English teacher, and she has a question related to her job.
Hi, Incubus.
Hi.
Brandon, my question is for you about your writing, creative writing process. As she said, I'm a high school English teacher, and one of my biggest tasks is teaching students to write figuratively. And aside from your amazing vocals, I really am impressed with your figurative writing style, and just was hoping to know what has inspired you, or who, to write so well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, because Brendan's an author and the whole deal. I mean, you really are into the written word.
I do enjoy the written word.
Although Mike's still the smart one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mike proofreads.
Yeah. Yeah. Where did your love of
I only read things on the internet.
Where did your love of books come from, Brendan?
I have been ever since I learned how to read, I've been fascinated with reading. Reading was always a favorite thing of mine, and in school it was a strong point. And then I think that it seems to me that, and most of my other friends that love to read as well, they usually write. It almost feels like a natural sort of next step. So there's so much out there to absorb as far as literature is concerned, and there's literally never a chance to get bored. I wish I had like four lifetimes to be able to absorb all that's out there.
It's so interesting to get this message out because on our show for years, we've held that reading is for losers.
Yes.
That's what we've been saying.
But that's because
I'm a huge loser.
No, that's because I can't read.
Right.
So.
And now you come along and make us look at it in a totally different way. You can't really use that language.
I'm just saying it's not fair.
Right, but you can't really use
it. But you're with me on it not being
fair. Let's move along, please. I didn't know the 7-second delay would come in use for the host.
I'm just saying. It needed to be said.
I know. Now you're the ones who, yeah, gosh.
I don't know. We're allowed to cuss on this show?
No, not really. No, we're not at all. All right, I think we have two more questions and our final song at Breakfast with Incubus. Alex.
I don't want to worry about Kevin. Normally, we're worried about the band. This is Celine from Montebello.
What are you saying? Hi, guys.
Hi.
I was just wondering if you guys would suggest any bands that we might know that we should be on the lookout for.
Bands that you might not know that are new, maybe, that you'd like to be
that we're
on.
Not aware of.
Good question.
You have any good bands that we're not aware of that we might enjoy?
Anybody? Go for it.
Jimi Hendrix.
Aware?
Gene Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, Jimmy.
Not aware of Gene, but...
Jimi Hendrix.
Gene Hendrix is Jimmy's stepbrother.
Okay.
He plays the violin.
I'm not going to listen to him.
Ben,
sorry.
You seem to know a lot of good new music.
Ben?
I could go on all day long with bands. My friends are in a band called The Roots. They're really good.
The Roots are good, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We have friends in a band called Soul Live, which is an awesome instrumental band.
Uh-huh.
There's good. This... great band called the Beatles.
Nope, never heard of them.
Yeah.
And I would say look for who you're playing with, who you're opening for, and who's opening for you. That's a great way to judge your taste as well, I would imagine.
Right? There's a good band called Young the Giant that's opening up for us on our next tour, and a real crafty feller named Tom Morello is going to open up for us on a bunch of shows, too. As
the Night Watchman.
Yeah. All right, very good. Thank you very much for the question. We've got one more, I think, Alex?
Yes, we do. This comes from KevinandBean.com from listener Danny, and she wants to know what was your craziest celebrity encounter. You told the story before about how you had a fan try to meet you guys because you were their favorite celebrity. Mm. Have you had an instance on a red carpet or at an event with a favorite celebrity of yours?
Wow.
I had a really funny...
Go for it.
I got put in a car one time with Bjork.
Yes!
Is that code?
Put in a car.
Yeah, no, like no, I went to,
did you have a hood on, over your head, too?
I wanted to go and see her perform. She's one of my favorite singers.
Right.
And I got a lot more than I bargained for. they told me they were going to take care of me.
Right.
And the next thing I know was it was actually at a Red Rocks, which is such an amazing concert venue. And afterwards, her kind manager put me in a car with her. And sort of like, it's like an hour ride to where we had to go from there.
Did you understand anything she was talking about?
I don't think that he, who was so nice enough, I mean, he was being so nice, I don't think he told her what I was doing there or anything.
Oops.
So it was a very awkward, like, sort of hour-long car ride next to my hero, who was like, who the hell is this person and why is he sitting next to me? And I sat there and just sort of was like, wow, oh, this is
so Dude, that's when you
so
just play
strange.
Dead, man.
I did.
Just play dead?
I played dead. I played dead for about 90 minutes is how long it took to get to
that
where
That is hilarious. That is so not the way you envisioned that encounter going with your hero.
She ended up being really, really nice and really cool. So.
Did she talk about the fairies?
No. She was speaking Icelandic the whole time.
Well, there you go.
A couple of other people in the car. So not only was I out of sorts just being there, everybody else in the car was speaking a foreign language and laughing.
That's
and looking at me.
Great. Awesome.
Were they pointing at you and laughing?
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Of course they were.
It was very surreal. But I got to say, you know, it just sort of... It's
one of those things.
It tempered me as a human being. What can I say?
Mike, I have another question for you, and I'm not positive. I saw it online. I'm not positive you're kidding or not about having a pre-show ritual. You kept demanding that you did. It was something about staying quiet for an hour, and I think you were making a joke.
Staying quiet for an hour.
Staying quiet for an hour and then doing something called the claw.
Yeah,
was your answer.
We
I was like, he's got to be kidding. Tell me he's kidding.
No, we have sort of a little bit of a, you know, fancy man handshake.
Okay.
Where you use no hands, right?
Right, we're going to leave that one.
Okay.
All right,
good.
That's a good point to get out. We got other stuff to take care of.
We do have one more song that we can hear from the band Incubus
man
here.
Shake.
On the Kevin and Bean show. What do you want to play? This is the last number. What are you guys in the mood for?
We're going to play the first song that you guys played of ours on the radio.
How about
ago.
That?
Fantastic. Yeah.
Breakfast with Lee.
Thank you.
Into flames, and I am not.
Come on.
Live Incubus. This has been Breakfast with Incubus.
Want to thank everybody involved in making this happen. Of course, our friends at Crazy Stupid Love for sponsoring the webcast at KevinBean.com. Also, the Buttermilk Truck for coming by with the pancakes. And Lynn Duke and the whole engineering crew. Producer Alex and everybody. And Beer Mug back to the station. This has been Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Incubus. How about tomorrow morning's all-new Kevin and Bean show? We are coming back. This isn't the end of the week for us, right?
I'd like it to be.
I know. This would be a great way to go out for the weekend.
Great way to end. We should do these on Friday.
I agree.
We have Mark Burnett, who's going to be talking about Exploration Impossible.
All right.
And we have Dr. Drew.
All right.
All who's not a real doctor.
Not a real doctor is what I've heard, too. Yeah. All of that tomorrow morning. Come on back for an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, yes.
Can we just say thank you to all the K-Rock people? We're so happy and thankful for all the support you guys have given us, Lisa and Kevin, and all you guys, really.
Everybody.
Kevin and Bean, thank you guys. We're in our hometown. We can't thank you guys enough. We're so honored and, you know.
Well, it's absurd that you thank us, but you're welcome, I guess.
All right.
Thank you.
Fine.
Thank you, guys.